Good morning, everyone. It's about 9 o'clock, so if we can find our seats, and we'll get started shortly. Well, that worked really well. Nice to know everything's not broken. You know, it's not quite 9 o'clock, but I just want you to know that that doesn't work as well in church as it does here. Which is kind of interesting. Minor observation to eat up those extra few seconds. Good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here with us. It's good to see so many smiling, friendly faces on a beautiful spring day. And like they say, if you're not happy with the weather, just wait till tomorrow. My name is Keith Heaton. I have the honor of chairing the Community Impact Board. We, again, appreciate you being here. To start off, let's do some quick introductions. We'll start with you, Commissioner Adams, because you're on my left side.
My name is Bruce Adams. I'm a San Juan County Commissioner. I'm here representing the Southeastern Utah AOG.
Mayor Dean Baker, I'm here representing Uinta County.
Good morning. Nagi Zinati from sunny and warm St. George, representing UDOT Commission. And I'm here for free breakfast, but no longer available, so I'm going home. This is my last.
Aaron Wade with the Attorney General's Office representing CIV.
Let's go to Candace.
Candace Powers, Fund Manager for the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board with Housing and Community Development.
I'm Commissioner Tudor Ogden representing Sevier County.
Kyle Stevens, representing the Utah Board of Water Resources.
And I'm Jim Webb. I'm representing water quality.
Thank you for being with us. And we very much appreciate our staff. We have Paul Moberly, Brenda Brown, and Zach Levitt. And do we have some board members on the phone?
Yes, we do.
Go ahead, Commissioner.
Can you hear me? This is Commissioner Jerry Taylor from Garfield County.
Welcome, Commissioner Taylor. We appreciate making the effort to be with us. I understand that he's hosting the Lieutenant Governor in his hometown of Escalante today, so we excuse him, but appreciate the effort to be here electronically. And we have someone else as well?
I'm trying to get the Treasurer promoted, so when we get that, I'll let you know. Okay.
Hey, Keith.
Yes, sir.
I need to let everybody know I am in Escalante this morning, and I can see San Juan County, the mayor, okay?
Well, don't fall off that cliff. That's all I got to say.
No. Look to the north. You might see Sevier.
True north, right? Again, thank you to the board members and our staff. Candace, as is our custom, would you like to give us a quick briefing?
Thank you. This is...
Oh, we have the treasurer on now.
Okay. Well, let's go to him real quick, if he's ready.
Greetings. This is Marlo Oakes, representing the great state of Utah as the treasurer, and I am calling in from the great city of Richfield.
And you can see everywhere from Richfield, I understand. Thanks for being with us,
Treasurer.
Okay, Candace, on to you for the briefing.
Thank you. This is April 7th, 2022, in case anyone wasn't aware of the date, but you showed up. So here we are. It's the first meeting of the third trimester for the Permanent Community Impact Fund Board, fiscal year 2022. Thank you, CIB Board, as now constituted, for your thoughtful review and approval of rural projects. Your focus is very important to rural Utah, and I think most of rural constituents can agree to that. Today, there are six new projects, two supplemental requests for funding of projects already funded, one pending project, which the board, which was placed on the pending list. It was a concurrence of the applicant and the board. And one special consideration project. This is the agenda for today's meeting. The mineral lease fund balance, where grants are and 0% loans and interest-bearing loans are accommodated, With revenues available today, if all projects are funded as requested, the revenue is not quite sufficient. So as you discuss these applications, understand that most of the funding can be allocated as a loan, interest-bearing loan, because the bonus account, which is statutorily only proffered as an interest-bearing loan, is sufficient to fund everything. So some movement will need to be made. People need to be understanding of where there is actual revenue to be allocated. The Permanent Community Impact Fund revenue comes from money received from the United States under the Mineral Lands Leasing Act for planning, construction, and maintenance of public facilities and public service, giving priority to those subdivisions of the state socially or economically impacted by development of minerals. This is not tax dollars. This is revenue generated from the resource development on federal land. Though in November 2021, the price of a barrel, this is a fun fact, the price of a barrel of oil was about $69. Yesterday it was $103. So in case you're wondering when you put your fuel in your car, why, there's many reasons, but that's one of them. That does not necessarily mean that the revenue is being generated, but should be, in the basin. The existing leases can still function, but there aren't any new leases being allocated yet on federal land. The board should pursue reasonable funding authorization for both the applicant and the fund to keep the fund revolving. That is a statutory requirement. As extraction continues to be down, the major source of CIB revenue is coming from loan repayments from previous allocations of funding. Good engineering is valuable, but it's important that the eligible entity is involved in all project discussions, planning, preparing applications, and funding requests, as the entity is responsible for those expenses involved in loan repayment. Again, the purpose of this is to maximize the long-term benefits of funds derived from these lease revenues and bonus payments by fostering appropriate funding mechanisms and do the most good for the most citizens of the state of Utah. And this board has done a very good job. We will get to the actual descriptions of projects when they come before the board, but that is the prep for the agenda today.
Thank you, Candace. Appreciate you and the staff for preparing us so well. Just to reiterate a couple things, sharpen your pencils. We have money to loan because the different sources, as Candace explains, we have loan repayments, which we have to put out as for the loan. And so if we ask you that question, be prepared. Commissioner Lytle, welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself for the...
Well, apologize for not being here right on time. Still getting used to the new time and then overcorrected. Jack Lytle, Uinta Basin Association of Governments and Daggett County. Good morning.
Thank you, Commissioner. Thank you. Good to have you with us. As they say, we are blessed to live in interesting times. Those of you who followed the legislature, as I would trust all of the board members have, know that there was a Senate Bill 111 that made some changes to our beloved Community Impact Board. I will no longer be chairing the fund as of May 4th. That legislation goes into effect. It will also affect the seats from the Department of Environmental Quality, Mr. Jim Webb, and Mr. Kyle Stevens. As of May 4th, we'll no longer be sitting on this board. And then it also changes the constituency of the top mineral producers, which would be the seat occupied by Mayor Dean Baker and also Commissioner Tudor Ogden. Their local association of governments can renominate them to fill certain positions under the new statute. I think those would have to be approved by the governor, is that correct as well? Yeah, and Senate. So they go through the process as well. So about half the board will look different after May 4th. in an attempt to accommodate those changes and maintain fairness to the applicants, what we would like to be able to do is accommodate all of the projects for this trimester, which goes through the end of June, June 30th, in this meeting, and we would like to be able to hold a subsequent meeting. If we did it the first Thursday, it would be too late, and we hadn't planned on that. So Candace had sent out a poll seeking to have an additional meeting on, I believe it was April 29th, at 9 o'clock here in this location. According to the poll that Candace conducted, about half of you can make that. Some of you cannot, which is obviously a concern, and some of you didn't respond. So look at your calendars. We will offer a Zoom option because we know that you are all very busy. We would only have about four projects as currently constituted. There may be a couple pending projects as well, so it would be a relatively lighter agenda that we could hopefully accomplish in a few hours without dragging on to, you know, as we do sometimes. So give that consideration at the end of the meeting today. We'll set the future meeting date. The other thing that we would like to do is we generally have our retreat. We were scheduling that for June 2nd and 3rd in Kane County and Kanab. I'm sorry, Commissioner Chamberlain, but the purpose of the retreat is to train the board members. And with half of the board members leaving and being replaced by new board members who would not be in place at that time or planning on it, after much deliberation, and again with apologies to Kane County and appreciation, I know, much appreciation for working with you, I am proposing that we cancel the retreat. Again, I won't be chairman in June, so I wouldn't be able to call that meeting anyway, but I think in the interest of transition, having new board members, a new chairman, giving them time, giving the governor and the Senate time to appoint those new members, we would just cancel that meeting. So again, we'll discuss that again at the end of the meeting so that you're aware, but that is what the proposal is. One final thing on our interesting time, and then I'll hit questions, is proposing that we suspend and fund the projects before us today. Not having a funding meeting, if we just fund the projects today and then fund them at a subsequent meeting, whenever and wherever that may be, we don't need to have the funding meeting. And the point in that, again, is that the board members that are hearing the projects, that have studied the projects, and the applicants that have applied to this board are somewhat equal footing and deliberation and the ability to fund what you know and not leave that to new board members who would not have necessarily heard the projects or had those opportunities. And just for this board, as it's currently constituted, to clean up its business, take care of everything, and close it out and move it forward. So today, as we go through the projects and motions are made, a couple things. I would recommend suspend and fund, although that is up to the maker of the motion and the board to decide ultimately, but that's my recommendation. And then also, as Candace said, we've got a number of projects on the agenda today that don't have adequate loan, and that's where our funding continues to be. So that's advice for everyone. So let's go to questions. I saw Commissioner Lytle had a question, then I'll...
So with, and I am one of the ones that's delinquent on getting back to you, and I apologize, Candace, on the your poll on what dates. And if we're going to talk about it later, I'll save that for later. But you answered one of my big questions was the suspend and fund and whether we go forward that way. And would it be the same on this other meeting if, in fact,
yes,
the board, the same recommendation, I guess, would be the way to put it? All right. And then I also wanted to say, with all of that interesting time discussion, thank you all, and thank you in particular, Keith, for your role as the chairman. And recognizing we'll still have you in another meeting or two, but at least in my time, in your comings and goings and returns to the board, thank you very, very much for your work, your intensity, your honesty, everything. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. I appreciate that, but I assure you I am a bad penny.
Good.
So, I will show up
I
again.
Enjoy finding bad pennies.
Mr. Zanotti.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In light of the sad news that you gave us, Mr. Chairman, and the fact that the King County has prepared the place for us since Commissioner Mattson was in our midst, and in order to appreciate every one of you, your staff, our friends going to be leaving us, I think we should consider going to Kanab for the June retreat and appropriately thank every one of you and our colleagues for the service they have rendered.
I second the motion.
That is opportunity for all of us to be for the last move. This is the, we have had in the past one or two person leaving because of the expiration of the term. But this is like clipping the most favorite olive tree. I don't want to just leave them without saying and give them the hug and give them the appropriate send-off.
Thank you for that.
Thank you.
Councillor Waite, did you have anything to add legally to my statements?
No, sir.
Okay, very good. I just wanted to make sure I covered everything. I very much, and I think on behalf of all of us, want to express appreciation to Councillor Waite, who has put in an extraordinary amount of time studying this issue and working with staff to make recommendations so that we can facilitate a very smooth transition. And again, I know, you know, for more than half of you, you will continue to be on this board and function. And for those who don't, we are very appreciative of your work. But thank you. I appreciate that.
So with, I'll ask for your forbearance to speak up. With what Mr. Zanotti just said, would you be willing to take that some form of an opinion later, or at least open to discussion?
Yes. Yeah, at the conclusion of the meeting when we schedule our next meetings, we'll review that.
Okay, thank you.
Collectively, for the last board constitution, we can't say yay or nay, I'm hoping.
Well, we might be down at Kanab. Hopefully, they'll come down too.
We're going to try to do it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, let's get on to other items of business. We have the approval of the minutes from both February 3rd and our special meeting on February 16th. The chair will entertain a motion or correction as the board sees fit.
I'd make a motion.
Prior to the motion, would you accept a correction?
Absolutely.
Or would you rather get it on the table through
no,
the
go
motion
ahead.
First? For the first, let me get to it. Anyway, the one that had Taviona on it, it said Carbon County, and it needed to say Duchesne County. And I believe it was on the first meeting.
We had a boundary change recently. Did you know that?
That's a big one. That is part of the redistricting, I'll bet.
Yeah.
The gerrymandering.
Okay.
That's the only, and whoever made the motion, if you'll accept it with
Mr.
that.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
I'll second it.
Is that a motion to approve both February 3rd
yes.
and February 6th?
That's correct.
No, it can't be as presented.
With corrections.
With corrections.
Second.
Thank you. Any other corrections or comments on the motion?
Unaware of it.
Seeing none, Candace, roll call votes, please.
Treasurer Oakes. Who is on the phone?
Treasurer Oakes, can you hear us?
Yes.
Is that
yes.
A yes to approve the minutes?
Yes.
To yes.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Aye.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with the correction.
Thank you for that. Our first project today is the town of Elsinore for street improvements. We'd like to invite them to come forward. While they're doing that, I would like to recognize former chairman of this board, Mr. Gordon Walker. Good to have you with us, Gordon.
Thank you.
It's been too long, I will say. We also have the executive director of the Division of Housing and Community, Gordon's former job, Christina. Thank you for being with us, Christina Oliver. Good to have you with us. Candace, will you give us a briefing, and then we'll give the applicant a chance to tell us about the project, and then we'll go to the board.
The first project on today's agenda is the town of Elsinore for street improvements. Their request is for a $3,614,000amount, of which there's a $904,000 loan. They requested 15 years at 0%, and a $2,710,000 grant. This project consists of roadway and drainage improvements to about 10.9 miles of roadway in the town. They've indicated what treatments would be applied. The roads receive frequent commercial truck traffic, hauling gravel, cement, and other product. Main Street is maintained mostly by UDOT, so even though it runs through Elsinore, the town is not required to help with any of those maintenance costs. The roads which are photographed in the application appear to be small rural roads. In the public hearing on February 10th, 2022, based on the criteria score, the remaining service life is calculated to be about 6.92 or 7-year average. Treating the streets will increase that length of time to 15 years. Now, that is a significant detail because what they've requested is a 15-year term. Usually on roads, the loans would come from BNC road funds, and the max would be 10 years. So the board should ask, you know, what revenue source will be for the repayment of the loan, because if it is BNC, it can't exceed 10-year term. And what is the plan for future maintenance? And with that, it's a good road project, and I turn the time over to the board.
Let's go to the applicant. If you'll please introduce yourselves and then tell us anything about the project you'd like the board to know before we go into deliberation.
My name is Valerie Hopper. I'm the mayor of Elsinore, and I think you know Parker. He's probably here a lot. And then we have our secretary, our treasurer from our town, Jenica Scott, that's here. With some
always
numbers.
Good to have them with you.
It is. She knows some of the numbers and the money. Anyway, we are a small bedroom community of Richfield, and we are just under 1,000 people that live there. And we have been, we're kind of a community that has a lot of widows, a lot of retired couples on fixed income, which fixed income is, I retired. It's a real thing. You know, so we also have just barely kind of had this whole perfect storm where we just completed a water project to upgrade our water system, to add some extra storage, and to also provide some water fire safety to a subdivision that is in the county that we furnish water to. We did an annexation, which we doubled our size of our community, but most of that is fields. It's not yet developed into homes. We have a new subdivision that has gone in that has about 20 homes in it, and but with that, we gained extra roads. Most of those roads are gravel, but we have these roads. With that water project, we were waiting to get that all done and have all of our roads, all the damage and torn up things that happened to roads during water projects. We were waiting for that to be completed so we wouldn't have to do that again before we came before the board to get some funding to improve the roads. And you saw the roads. We have several roads that are really pretty bad. They're falling apart. They haven't had any maintenance. Well, they minimum maintenance. We've done some crack sealing and things like that. So our council member that was on the board for the past 4 years has been putting some of the money aside from the Class C road funds, but it's not even, it wouldn't even touch this project because almost every road is included in this project. There are a couple of places that we could, you know, cut on some side streets and things like that. But we have gone through and we have about $160,000 that has been set aside for this project from our Class C road funds. And we have tried to do as much in-house as we can because we realize that we don't have a lot of money. So we did what was called a pavement assessment, and Jones and DeMille have been helping us with that. And so each road has its own repair schedule, what would happen so that everything wasn't getting the same treatment. And we kind of did that in-house, and then they put it in the plan for us. We went ahead and made the expense of doing the crack sealing on the roads that would need crack seal before they were had their treatment on them, so we tried to take care of some of those things in-house. And we are here to just ask for the funding for the rest of this. And I have a lot of sleepless nights since oil has been going up, that this amount that we have even put in there is not going to be enough. So we will have to definitely trim some things. But looking at this, I you said that you have a 10-year limit on these. Looking at these numbers and what we are actually receiving with our Class C road funds, we can't do really any better than what we have submitted in here as far as what money we have coming in on that. You know, and I was joking with Commissioner Ogden that, you know, unless we have a car wash and a bake sale every Saturday, you know, to get some extra funding to go
might
on
have
that.
To think about it.
You know, yeah. My husband makes root beer. We could have root beer float, so it would be pretty good. We might be able to do it. But right now, we're just asking for the funding in the time frame that we have suggested with also the amounts. And then we will work with that. Even if we do have to trim some of the parts of the project down.
Okay. I appreciate that you have a maintenance plan in place, and that's very important.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the good things about going back to gravel roads is you need to wash your car more often.
Yes.
Which can
help. And the car wash. Could the town do that? Could the town? We have a little piece of property down by the river. We could turn it into a car wash, make a little money on it.
So that's a plus. The question that I have is the term of the loan, and how long the loan lasts, mm-hmm. depends on the revenue source. And if you're using BNC road funds, we are limited to the 10 years, not the 15 years that you've requested, because that's the lifespan of, you know, even a double chip seal.
Your engineer should know that.
Yes, and I'm going to let him address that.
Yeah, thank you. Parker Versmack from Jones & Mill Engineering. So there's a few unique things with this application. One, the 10 years versus 15 years. The other thing that I'd like to note, too, is we've only included a 5% contingency in the project, which, especially in today's day and age, is very low. The reason being, we worked through the pavement assessment with the town. The total pavement assessment and pavement preservation plan came out to nearly $5 million. We sat down with a sharp pencil and have whittled it down to what we're asking for currently. And that included whittling down the contingency to try to keep it within the affordability limit that Elsinore can afford. As the mayor pointed out, there are important roads, but perhaps less important than others within the town that could possibly be pulled off as a potential internal contingency. They also mentioned the $150,000, $160,000 that they have cash on hand. The one thought there was that could be put into the project to help offset some of the loan cost, or more ideally would be if we could keep that as part of our future maintenance plan. With a planned project 5 to 7 years from now to go back through and do a new chip seal on all of these treated roads, which would then again bump the remaining service life near back to the 15 years that it would be after this project. Those are some of the unique things that we've considered. One other thing that I would like to point out is our cost estimate for this was completed on January 22nd of this year. At that current time, the fuel index using a UDOT tool, the fuel index was $75.21. The fuel index right now is about 105, give or take a little bit, but looking at the highest price per barrel of oil recently is 115. So we've plugged that into our cost estimate to see what adjustments would be necessary. And for the fuel adjustment and oil is about $36,000. And then on the asphalt side, asphalt's gone up from 529 to about 610. So that's about $3,000. So total just on the fuel and oil increases from the time that the cost estimate was prepared is about $40,000, which still should keep us within our contingency. And we feel comfortable with that, acknowledging that if bids come in higher than expected, there would be some of those roads that may have to wait for future improvements.
And the source of repayment for the loan would be
it's currently planned as B&C road funds with that $150,000 cash that may or may not need to be injected. The one question that I guess we would pose to the board is if we need to scale it back to the 10 years and stick to that as a hard fact, would there be any way possible to perhaps receive a little bit more grant? The city receives
about $80,000 this last year. We can't project the future, but this last year we've received about $80,000, which all of that can't go. If if we go with a 10-year on this, it puts the payment at $90,000. So that's more than what we actually have been bringing in, and we still have other things that need to, you know, come out of that fund. It all can't go to this loan. I mean, taking in those disposed gravel roads, we have the increase of having to maintain those gravel roads, which are not part of this project.
Mm-hmm.
Also,
yeah, the situation is bonding will not permit us to go beyond the
10 years
usable life, so we are confined to that 10 years if the source is B&C, and so we will have to work within those parameters. I see the board members have questions left and right, so we'll start with Mayor Baker, then go to Mr. Sazadi, and we'll just go around the horn.
Good morning. Thank you, Mayor, for the presentation. As I'm hearing from you, you're looking at maybe scaling back. Would you be willing to consider, instead of what you've requested, but just exactly half of it, which would be $452,000 in loan and $1.355 million in grant at a 0%.
And then fix the project, make the project fit the money.
Yeah, scale it back to that, to half of it. So if we, I'd be willing to consider that strongly for you.
To scale the whole project back by half?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If we considered two-thirds, I think that would roughly keep us within that $60,000 per year repayment on the 10-year. What could we consider that possibly? But I do appreciate the comment of scaling back and trying to stay within the town's affordability.
I was just trying to not take all the money. So you're going to have maintenance on the other if it's not. So,
yeah.
You know, and again, and then in a few years or whatever, you can come back for the other. And if revenues get better, you know, gas and oil's up.
Yeah, well, we definitely need to do something, and if it has to be scaled back, we will, but we do have roads that definitely we will lose if we don't. I mean, well, you saw the pictures, they're lost already, and so those definitely need to be done. They have very high traffic on, at least part of our roads have very high traffic on them due to the subdivision that went in there. We have a road that comes in from the county, and I just found out yesterday that the National Guard runs their tanks and stuff across that road to get out to Poverty Flat. So we have two roads that are at least twice a year run, you know, that big equipment. Those definitely would have to be done. But others, we probably could get by. We probably wouldn't be able to afford to do anything with those roads, you know. But we did go ahead and do crack sealing on the best roads in anticipation of that, out of our own pockets. Okay. Did that answer your question?
Let's go to Mr. Zanotti, and then we'll go to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mayor, good morning. I feel your pain. As a road person for the UDOT, I just sincerely know that it's a difficult thing to do, keep your roads mm-hmm. and keep the traffic going. But if you're going to consider the bake sale, please, pecan pie. I order it right now.
Pie?
Pecan pie. Don't want anything else.
One sold.
I have a question about the canal road. You had mentioned mm-hmm. in your meetings at the public hearing that half of that is under the civil county jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
and they're responsible. Have you got the money from them? If that is the case, where's the money?
Agreement. No, but did you talk to them? I mean, we've addressed that. I mean, we have talked about it, and that's actually one of the roads that we would probably take off the project in the first place.
Okay.
You know, but I think we did.
Yeah, we have had conversations with the road department, and they saw that as a favorable opportunity should the funding be able to include that as part of the project.
Okay.
And they would pay proportionately if we were to include that in the project.
Yeah, because the plan was to go all the way through with that. At this time, it only goes in probably, well, I wouldn't even call it, I won't tell you what I would call it. Mm-hmm. It is the rotomill that has been put down that was never maintained, and then the gravel kind of is on top of it. So it's not a road you can grade or it's just a mess. And so really, if we have to, we could in-house grind that up and redo it as just a gravel road. There's not that many homes that live out there, although it is a potential place for growth to go out that way. And so right at this point, most of the road is gravel. So it would be probably the first one chopped from the list in the first place.
And my next question is from Parker. 5% contingency, can you really sustain that? Because in UDOT, every project we have had in the last several months has come up with a 10 to 15%. Do you, have you talked to your company president to see if he will promise you that 5%?
It's extremely low, and internally we typically, in this climate, are using 20 to 25%.
Right.
And so I acknowledge that. On this project specifically, we've just looked at what the city or what the town could afford, and then have acknowledged that there's roads included in the project currently in the cost estimate that would need to be held more of a contingency. The Canal Road, for example, could be one that if that was dropped from the list, then that would increase our contingency percentage. There'd be a few other residential streets that would fall into that category.
And I think we have the cemetery listed on that, and that could definitely come off also. Because our plans with that cemetery in the first place was to take the road and mill back off and just leave it as gravel roads, because it's really not working out. Because everybody knows what road and mill does or doesn't do.
Yeah, based on the limitation of the BNC funds and also the limitation of the timeline, so you may need to consider the scale now, like May Baker said. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Lytle.
Thank you, and thank you for your time and being here.
Thank you for hearing us.
I think that Mr. Zanotti asked my questions. The only thing I wondered about was, in terms of the more detail, was that in terms of the funding, BNC Road, the question in the agenda notes?
Yeah.
So it's been answered, so thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mr. Ogden?
I would... I don't know. I guess we've got to go back a little bit and look at this. Obviously, we've got to go back to the 10-year the 10-year plan. So, looking at that, what do you think would kind of accommodate that? I mean, we're not going to be able to go to this because the bonding on a 15-year note, and I am concerned about the contingency. So we've either got to give them a little bit more to cover that contingency in this project,
or scale back.
Probably have to scale back a little bit anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, I'm.
So to answer that question, Commissioner, if we look at 2/3, which is more than half and less than whole, $602,000 loan, 0%, with a 1.806 grant. You know, hopefully, you're seeing that on the screen or something similar. Should work. At the 10-year mark, and you know, give you a little more leeway, and if you cut out cemetery and the canal and some of those other things,
and the county road,
And that'd make your annual payment $59,000.
But what do they get in C road funds annually on the average?
They're getting about $80,000,
so that allows for the maintenance.
Yeah. So that's going to allow them a little bit of maintenance.
Yes, it will.
I'd go with the 2/3,
and you can adjust your plan.
Right.
Yeah.
And would you want us to resubmit a cost estimate with that adjusted contingency?
You have to provide that to the board, the staff anyway. Yes.
Absolutely.
But we could make the motion contingent on that occurring.
Sure.
Can I be willing to make that motion?
So we have a motion from Commissioner Lytle to do the 2/3. That's a
597
loan, 0% for 10 years,
yeah.
And then
1788.
Million.
So for
round to the nearest thousand. So
right. But that maintains the same ratio of loan and grant.
Yes.
0%
ratio still within the pool.
And the interest rate
0%.
0% 10 years.
As a producing county.
Is that your motion, sir?
Yes.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Suspended fund.
Thank you for adding that. Oh, thank you. And we have a second by
second.
Mr.
Yeah, with that condition.
Any discussion on the motion?
Do we have to consider what the funding tool
It's within the parameters of the funding.
Okay, so we don't have to have an exemption.
The 10 and 15 year, because we're bringing it back to the 10 year.
That's right. We're keeping the ratio with the
debt. Brings it back into everything.
Excellent question. Thank you, Commissioner.
Okay.
Seeing nothing else, Candace, roll call vote, please.
The town of Elsinore will receive a... a what? The motion. This is on the motion that made by Commissioner Lytle. Treasurer Oakes.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, board members. Thank you, Mayor Parker. It's a tough ask. I appreciate the hard work that you put into it and that you will put into making this work. And best wishes with it.
We appreciate your listening to us and granting us this. We're grateful for it. Just to like to mention that we are paying back a loan. We have 3 years left on a CIB loan we got 20 years ago. So we're putting money back into the system.
Do you need us to defer payments till that's done?
No, it's a water loan. Okay. It's a water loan and they can't commingle. So it's fine. We're doing great.
No,
So
you went somewhere I wouldn't have even thought about.
Okay.
No, it was whether you needed a deferment on payments until you got that one taken care of.
No.
On this project.
No, we don't. Okay. Because it's coming out of
I realize they're different funds.
Yeah.
Thank you.
My question is, who's going to call Mr. Greg Galecki and tell him that we're going back to gravel?
Gravel.
Yes, please. Send it with a box of candy or gravel.
For those out of the loop, Mr. Greg Galecki was a board member from Water Quality for about 10 years. And with every road project, he's like, I live on a gravel road. There should be more gravel roads. It's rural. And I don't know that he ever saw the light of day. And here Elsinore is.
And we are going back to gravel. We may be going back to cobblestones.
He's jumping for joy.
We will buy a gravel pit so we can
play. Easily do that.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Okay, let's go to our next project. We'll invite Mount Pleasant City to come forward and ask Candace to give us a briefing on this project.
Before I brief on Mount Pleasant in regard to Commissioner Lytle's suggestion of a deferred payment, BNC Road Funds, if you defer a first payment, then you would have only 8 payments because it has to be paid off from the date of the loan closing within 10 years. So if you defer a first payment, it makes a big
difference.
Subsequent
okay,
payment.
Thank you. I feel better informed. Thank you.
That's for the whole board to know. Number 2 on today's agenda is Mount Pleasant City for secondary water improvements. Their request is $4,073,000, of which they've requested 50% loan and 50% grant, a $2,037,000 loan, 30 years at 0.5%, and a $2,036,000 grant. This project consists of purchasing an existing well and water rights to provide additional source and reduce the impact of outdoor watering, because this will be it will not be treated water that they use. They will use this for irrigation. The city will own the project, that is my understanding, so it is eligible. The city has already paid for legal services to negotiate and draw up contracts to purchase the well, and these legal expenses are not part of these requested funds. The project was described in the public hearing on February 22nd. The estimates include a $1,061,770 for pumps, SCADA, and electrical panel, $83,185.84 for extending the power to the pump location, installing a transformer, meter base, and service for a 75-horsepower water well pump, $2,917,000 for the water shares, of which it was $208,000 for 41.6 shares purchased with ARPA funds. So that is not in this bid. The $3,125,740 was for water rights. The quarter-acre land is purchased independent of CIB funding. This project will enable watering the cemetery and the park with untreated water. Please note that their request is outside the TOOL recommendation, so it would need an exemption to fund in such a manner.
Thank you for that, Candace. And I guess I would refer the board to their agenda to look at the TOOL scenarios. At this point, we'd invite the applicant to introduce themselves and tell us whatever you'd like.
Okay. Thank you. I'd like to thank the board for letting us come present our project today. I'm Mayor Mike Olson. Along with me, I have Dave Oxman, our Chief Financial Operator, and Bryce Wilcox from JUB as our engineer. In Mount Pleasant, we've struggled over the whole lifetime of Mount Pleasant. We have nowhere to store water due to certain Cox decrees and different things that we can't store. And so over the last few years, we've had our town up 4 hours of watering once a week, and we've been trying to appear to that as a city also. So our parks, cemetery, everything is very bad, very drought-ridden. And approximately a year ago, we had some owners of a well approach us wanting us to purchase this well and to be able to bring it into the town to help water some of these situations and help our water problem. So at that time, we've been negotiating with them and working with them, brought JUB, who is doing a secondary project with us, kind of into it to acquire this well to be able to use it in the city. So that's kind of our project.
Great. Thank you. Let's go to the board for questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
Good morning, Mayor. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Fine. First off, how is your pool, swimming pool, doing?
It is doing great.
You guys getting enough people to come in and enjoy the water?
We've struggled over the COVID because we had to lower our numbers down, and our other private high school that is in town, their numbers have dropped with COVID, so we have struggled with it, but it is a great asset to our community.
That's great. I'm glad that you have that. I have four questions, just a back-to-back. What is your current population? What is your future growth that you're anticipating for that community? And current water rates, and what kind of a connection, how many connections you have?
Okay, right now our population is about 3,600, 3,700. Our water rates, we just raised our culinary water rate to $26 minimum. And also we have a secondary water rate, too, that's on a monthly basis, which is on the low end, $10.50 a month. So we're $36, $37 right there for the minimum. The average household, I would say, is around $40, $41
okay. On
water rates. What was the other one? Let's see.
The connections, how many connections do you have based on the population?
Connection-wise, we have approximately, I want to say it's right around 1,500 water connections. We do have a current subdivision going in right now of 65 homes with another developer that would like to put an 80 town home complex, which we have never had in Mount Pleasant. So we're seeing a lot of growth. We're having a lot of overflow coming from Wasatch Front.
Commuter traffic.
Commuter traffic.
Become more popular.
Yes. Yeah. It's. I would have to say a lot of our growth is becoming a bedroom community, or now with people realizing they can work from home, they're really coming to our area because they can work from home, and then if they have to commute one day a week, it's very flexible for them.
So the new water development expense is going to add to the fees?
It will.
Okay. How much do you know? Have you calculated that?
We figure it will average, will increase about $350 a month to the average person.
And your citizens are okay with that development?
Our citizens are in such dire need for water that we got to do something to help improve our water situation in our town.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Stevens.
Thank you. I'm sure with having Bryce as your engineer, my question is, are you aware of the requirements of House Bill 242, which is going to be the requirement of metering all secondary water connections?
Yes.
And are you in the process of applying for grants, you know, for the grant program associated with that?
So our water project started back in 2012 when we come to this board and got, this is long before my time, we got a grant to do a secondary water master plan. We then approached NRCS. We are up to build, again, this is still contingency on Cox decree if we, and the Gooseberry Narrows, so we got a lot of things still rolling in different aspects. We're trying to do a major reservoir to store some water to help our situation. San Pete County just did receive the water shares for the Gooseberry Narrows that we've been fighting over for 70 years with Carbon County that way. And so part of our project, even in the secondary where we had GUB start, was to build us a big reservoir above town as a reservoir and a flood control deal. And we do know as that comes into town, we will have to second meter it. This well will also help us to where we can actually tie into that project and be able to continue that project as we're still moving forward.
Sure, go ahead.
As part of our project through the NRCS program, it's through their PL 566 watershed program, the current Mount Pleasant pressure irrigation system is very old. It's 40 years old, roughly. 80 years old. Feels like it's 80 years old.
1980 when it was installed.
And so it's got a lot of deficiencies in it. So part of the program is to replace their entire secondary system. They run a lot of pipes in the backyards, and so we'll be pulling those out of the street right away. As part of that, we'll be putting new meters in with that program. So we haven't applied for the water resources meter program yet, but we intend to combine it with that because we need our new system constructed so we can put the meter in the right location.
How does that coincide with the requirements of all secondary meters being installed by 2030 or then being faced with fines?
Well, our intent is we're in the final stages of the environmental document that's been submitted to the NRCS for review. Our design funding is anticipated for the end of this year, early next year, so we hope to be under construction within 2 years on the secondary system. We can divide out the reservoir, so if there's issues with that, we can still get our secondary system. So, yes, we're planning on having the secondary system up and operational, hopefully by 2025 at the latest. So, yeah, we'll be in compliance with that, okay, with that requirement.
Commissioner Lytle, we'll go back.
Thank you for being here. Thank you. I do understand some of the stresses.
Is your microphone on, Commissioner?
Probably not. It's just not close enough to hear. I was saying thank you for being here. And so a couple of questions. What's the water quality of the well? Is it culinary? Suitable?
It's not deep enough. The existing well is not deep enough.
Of the one you're wanting to buy?
Yes.
Okay. It's currently used as an agricultural well.
It is an ag well?
Yes.
Okay, so it'd have to be treated. It's not. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
All right. That helps me a lot because I was trying to figure out if it's actually valuable to culinary, then.
So our value with it to culinary is we can take culinary.
Reduce your pressure on culinary.
Yeah, we can take these cemeteries and ball fields and things off of our culinary system and put them on the irrigation system and strengthen our culinary systems, free up some water there that's desperately needed without having to treat additional water.
And you haven't already done that? Taken your recreation and less important, in my mind, to culinary, reduce the...
We just don't have the water.
So you've had to cut back on watering the cemetery, the ballparks,
yes, and that's
whatever.
That's what
and this
back.
Will help
yes.
bring those back. Yeah, the 4 hours
four
a day.
Hours
that's
week.
Right, or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay. That helps me. Thank you,
Chairman. Oh, I got Chair a couple Baker. Questions, and I think I'm now starting to understand a little more of what because I think that's with Jack. You're really looking at trying to go secondary. But as I was hearing you talk, you've got a lot of development coming in, new homes and doing. One of my questions was, are you collecting impact fees on those subdivisions? And looking to me, it sounds to me like with what you're just looking at subdivisions, you're going to be back in dire straits again on your drinking water.
mm-hmm. leave alone secondary water, and trying to come up with it. You know, I mean, my question is, you are charging impact fees on these subdivisions and homeowners that are building and doing.
A year ago, we re-implemented the impact fees.
Just started, yeah.
So it was done, I don't know, what, 10, 15 years ago? Then for some reason the city council folded it out. I don't know why they done that, but we have implemented them back in the last year.
Okay. I guess that was my question. As I was understanding, it was more culinary with trying to help supplement back to watering your cemeteries and
no,
that.
No, it's to pull our cemeteries and parks and all off our existing culinary system and then water them totally with this irrigation well.
So you actually have two systems running then?
We actually have two systems in town, yes.
This other well is to supplement your secondary that's not producing enough for the secondary. With metering, you've got, I guess that's my next one, is really add back a cost for secondary water in there. You guys charge now a cost for secondary water?
We do. That's the 10.50 to okay. our smaller lots. That's our minimum again on small lots in town.
That's just a base fee and that's it. Where you're getting ready to go to metering, I know you haven't had to deal with it, as Kyle said, but that is coming in and it's going to be.
I really like the metering issue myself because I know we have a lot of people who abuse the system. And this way, it is going to help keep them honest.
Okay. Thank you. You answered my questions.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Zanotti.
Just a comment. By listening to Mr. Stevens' question, I'm just saddened again to say that how those people are making the decision for the board, they don't know what kind of valuable sources they're eliminating from our board. Thank you. And the same for Mr. Webb. We need those two individuals in the same department to be in our midst in order to offer this kind of questions and educations that none of us are going to have that. And I'm too old to go back to the college, get a degree in the water engineering. I'm sorry to say that, but that's for the record.
Well said. Thank you, Mr. Zanotti. So looking for a motion at this point. Hopefully you're looking at the minimum on the tool.
Yeah, that's my question.
Commissioner Lytle?
Thank you. So the 5% is above the tool range because of it being a producing county? Is that?
Well, the minimum interest would be 0%. The maximum would be 1.5. So the 0.5 is within the range between the minimum and the median if you're looking at the tool.
Yes. And right now it's a 50-50, and unfortunately it does not fit into any of the tool recommendations.
Correct.
I guess to get things started, I'd make a motion to go with the median, the $3,340,000 loan, 30 years at 1%, $733,000 grant, suspend and fund.
Chairman, I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Lytle, a second by Mayor Baker. Questions on the motion? Commissioner Ogden.
I'd make a substitute motion. I would go to the minimum. This town doesn't have very many people in it, and I think that where they're trying to work with water, water's going to definitely be one of those situations for all of these small communities and all of us across the state. And I think they are working here to try to work toward that. And I think that's something that we're going to see a lot more requests. So I'm sensitive to these small towns. Metering, I'm not for sure. I'm thinking they're going to have hardships anyway. All of them are going to have hardships. We discussed this a lot at the legislative session. You know, what are we going to do? They're going to have to take these meters in and out in spring, fall. Some of them are going to have problems. But anyway, at least I'm rambling a little bit. But I think it's at least they're headed in the right direction to try to satisfy their needs.
I'll second that.
So we have a motion by Commissioner Ogden, a second by Mr. Stevens. Looking at the minimum 2.9% loan, 30 years at 0%.
Yes.
And a 1.18% grant. Treasurer Oakes, you have a comment on the motion?
Yeah, no, I'm just had a question. Is there a way to assess the, I guess, the affordability or the ability to pay, you know, given these different motions? One's got a, I guess, a 1% rate, the other one's a 0% rate. I'm just trying to get a feel for, you know, what can the town afford? You know, it's pretty clear with the town of Elsinore, they're only getting $80,000 a year, right? So it was a little bit more obvious, the affordability question. But here, it's a little bit murky to me how to assess that. Does anybody have any thoughts on that on the board or otherwise?
It is addressed on the sheet if you look at your agenda, the affordability. As I understand it, either one would be workable for the community. Mayor, is that the correct assessment on my part?
We just have to raise our water rates. Yeah. And again, we're an older and a younger community. It's kind of mixture, so.
Just raise the rates on the younger people.
Yeah.
Thank you for the comment.
That would entice growth.
Does that answer your question, Treasurer?
Yes, thank you.
What's the magi for this community?
Do you have that? Yeah. We'll pull that up for you here, Commissioner.
I'm sure it's on the review, but I'm not finding it.
It should be on the DEQ review. I don't have it pulled up.
I want to say it's 41,000 is our average in the community of magi as a percentage.
Yeah.
41,000 income.
And then you've had, I haven't done the math, but a number of grants with grant mix or loan mix on your water system over the time, and have some of them maturing or as we speak.
Still got a few years on them.
Where's that at, Candace?
It's not on the sheet.
Yeah, it's not.
I was just curious because of its impact and the way they tie their billing, as well as the intermingling of the systems. I'm curious.
Yeah, because it is secondary, not culinary.
I understand why it wouldn't be there, but it's interesting to me to know.
Right,
I think our average income is right around
41,000.
Yeah, it's
40,800.
Chairman?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got another question for him while we're looking that up. I noticed as I read through the public meetings that you talked about that you could do a half loan, half grant. And it was kind of, that's where you was anticipating it. You came in wanting.
That's what they came in with.
That's what they request. Yeah.
That's kind of
so much more than a 50-50. Could you? I mean, and I heard in the comments in that public hearing that you could do it. Looked like you could do a 50-50.
That's what they asked for.
Yeah, that's what we were asking for.
That's what they asked for.
That's what we were presenting in our public hearing was to come to the board this way.
But
that was outside
the tool. But
yeah.
So we're doing the minimum we can offer.
And call for a question on the motion.
Thank you for that. Candace, call the question.
The motion is for a funding of $4,073,000 total request as a $2,933,000 loan, 30-year at... Was there an interest rate?
Zero.
30
years.
So it still takes it from the mineral lease fund. Okay. 30-year at 0% and a $1,140,000 grant. Treasurer Oakes.
I like the first one better, so I'm going to say no on the second.
Mr. Webb.
No.
Mr. Baker, Mayor Baker.
No.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
No.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
Four. 5-4 and 4 against. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Well, quick Thank question you. On that. Have we applied at even a minimal percent? Would that have helped us in where the money came from?
Yes, totally.
That was one of the... Okay. Thank you.
And that was suspended fund, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Congratulations, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
With the project. Grand County, if you'd like to come forward, and Candace, if you'd like to give a briefing on 4.3.
Number three on the agenda today is Grand County Municipal Building Authority for the Jackson Street Drainage Mitigation Project, Phase 2.
Good morning, everybody.
Wait.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, I have a lot more to say.
Oh, go ahead.
You don't want to interrupt Candace.
Their request is for a $1,356,000 grant. They have applicant cash of $1,090,943, and Grand County Transportation Special Service District is participating with $265,000. The project total is $2,711,943. This project consists of constructing a major storm drain trunk. You've read the description. It's on Jackson Street, down Moab, 400 East, discharging into Pat Creek. It will be manholes, catch basins. UDOT has been consulted, and it's kind of a larger project. Phase one of the Jackson Street Drainage Mitigation Project was completed March 2019. In the public hearing of January 18, 2022, which was, thank you, prior to submission, they discussed the other funding. In 2018, Grand County CIB funded drainage improvements on Jackson Street as a $242,000 grant. Was this phase one? That would be my question.
Phase
okay.
one, yes.
In 2020, they submitted an application for $725,000 for the phase two, but it was subsequently withdrawn, probably because it needed to be tuned up a bit. The replacement fund was indicated to be through stormwater mitigation fund, and my question would be, where does that revenue come from for that fund, and what is the balance? If funding is authorized as a loan, this project does not include any bonding costs, so the board should consider that to account for the costs of issuance of bonds. And my question, if they do issue as a loan, what would a revenue source be for this project?
Could you restate real quick what you said about the bond? I'm sorry.
There was no funding included in their application for the cost of issuance of bonds, which is an eligible cost. So if you decide to provide funding in the form of a loan, they need that extra funding.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, if you'll introduce yourselves.
Thank you. My name is Chris Baird. I'm a staff person with the Grand County Commission Office. This is Bill Jackson, our Roads and Bridges Supervisor. Would you like me to answer the questions?
Yes, and anything else you'd like to...
Okay. So, yeah, we did hope to apply for this previously in 2020, but when COVID hit, it completely shut Moab and Grand County down. And so I was concerned at that point in time that the funding mechanism that we would use for this was in jeopardy, which is sales tax, basically. So we do have a lot of challenges funding stormwater projects in Grand County, largely due to the restrictions on our revenue. And so we can't use B road money for this particular project. We're also heavily funded via tourism taxes, and those also can be used for stormwater mitigation. And so it really whittles us down to just our unrestricted sales taxes. For the past few years, I've been putting away $400,000 into our stormwater account, and that's coming from these sales taxes. And so at this point, I believe we have about $1.4 million in our stormwater stormwater mitigation fund. We did have a big fire last year in the LaSalle's, and that created a lot of complications with post-fire flooding in Pat Creek, which was an unexpected occurrence, and so it did force me to draw some money away from this project and to apply it towards a match with the NRCS funding for improvements to the conveyance of Pat Creek into the Colorado River. So that was a bit of an unfortunate element to what happened last year, but it still left us with about $1,091,000 to contribute in cash to this project. If we did get a loan offer, the loan would be paid for also out of the sales tax appropriation to our stormwater mitigation fund. And so, like I say, I've been trying to put about $400,000 a year toward that fund. And so if we were to have a debt payment, then that debt payment would come out of that $400,000 that we appropriate to stormwater every year.
Thank you for that. Let's go to the board for questions.
Question?
Mr. Stevens.
Mine is referring to the public meeting minutes that you provided. It indicated that there was an individual that raised some concerns via chat. I'm assuming it must have been a virtual meeting, about adding the drainage, that it may interfere with existing water and other infrastructure already in place, but it wasn't addressed in the minutes. And so,
So
response to that question.
Mr. Jackson did contact her. You want to give a report on your discussion?
Yes, I did. Mrs. Hollyoke, I talked to her about her concerns, and essentially they have some private infrastructure in that area. And, of course, we would have to design this conveyance system around that or relocate it for them, you know.
What do you mean private infrastructure?
I think there's some, her main concern, I think, was irrigation. I think there's an irrigation line.
Are we talking, like, for alfalfa field or are we talking a backyard?
No, it's for a field.
Okay.
Yeah,
and it does cross 191 as well.
Okay.
So, yeah, her concerns were with possible conflict with existing utilities,
right,
which we can certainly engineer around, and we will. Yeah, this is one of the higher priority projects on our stormwater master plan. And we are trying to tick these projects off in Grand County, and especially in Spanish Valley. Stormwater events are very disruptive. This particular project not only would help save businesses from property damage, but also helps mitigate the effects of stormwater events and flooding on US 191, which is a major north-south trucking and haul route.
Also, I might add that once this project is completed, there's other areas right local there that would be able to utilize that storm drain conveyance system as well, the other adjacent neighborhoods.
So as the board considers the funding package that they're to offer, our balance currently sits at $5.5 million of mineral lease funding available for grant or 0% loan. And that's, you know, what we currently have available, so we can't.
No, we don't. That's in the red.
Oh, that's a negative.
Yeah, that's negative.
Negative.
So we went further into the red with the last project?
Not yet, but if we continue to fund.
But we did a fund balance,
yeah.
Or a fund, suspended fund.
Yes.
On the last project,
right.
Just now?
Yeah.
It would have been better to give them what they asked for.
A little late for that, but anyway, moving forward with these grant requests and 0%
loans. Outside of what the tool said.
Yes, we'd have had an exemption, but it would have taken some of it out of the loan. As funded, it took it all out.
0%. Well, as they said, the law wise, you can't look back, but you can look forward. So. Sure.
Question, Mr. Chairman?
Mr. Zanotti, please.
You have listed also other local cash of $265,000. What is the source of that cash? Where is that sitting?
It's in an account that our Transportation and Stormwater Special Service District maintains, and so that also comes from mineral lease funding. So we make an appropriation to that service district of mineral lease funding and some state PILT as well. And so that would be where that money comes from. And the service district has voted to commit that amount of money to this project.
Okay. May I ask a sensitive question? Sorry.
No, I'm just queuing up. Go ahead.
What's up with the Grand County? I know that the Senator Winterton a few years ago brought this question up, that you received for the last 5 years have been only $3.7 million. Allocation from the CIB has been $15.5 million. And you're still asking for grants while you're producing almost nothing. So what is going on? How do we balance this? Because you can see and hear that how the staff and Mr. Chairman himself saying that we don't have the money, and we're already in the negative, and we're hoping and praying that Grand County will pitch in and produce so we can give you the money back to you. That's your money.
Not fight everybody else.
Yeah.
So, well, I certainly wouldn't ask for more than, you know, we put into the pot.
I know. I'm just asking if anything that you can shed light on, because this was questioned a few years ago by Senator Winterton himself, that he's from that neighborhood anyway, but just asking why you're asking for grant while you don't produce that you're supposed to, and by mandate. Anyway, that was my just question. But, and your minutes also indicated that you are, and your own testimony, that you will be able to ask for the loan if it is doable, because you have already saved money to pay back the proceeds, right?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, my objective with our stormwater fund, as I said, it's difficult to come up with the money for these projects because of the restrictions on the majority of our revenue. And so my intention is to maximize, obviously, the funding that we put
in.
Sure,
of course.
So, you know, and we are committing to locally fund 50% of this project.
And you also note that Christmas was 3 months ago. It was all gone. We're in the new year.
Yes, and certainly, if a loan is an option, I think that we would consider it, certainly.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, I'm ready to make a motion if you.
That would be in order.
I would like to go with the median. 909 for a loan at 1%, 30 years. 447 as a grant.
I'm sorry, what was the interest rate on that, Mr.
Zanotti? 1%, 30 years, median range.
I'd second that.
We have a motion by Mr. Zanotti for the median and a second by Commissioner Ogden. Discussions on the motion, Commissioner Lytle?
So you're having participation using the MBA, I'm assuming that's to... Do you get PILT money yourselves? Is that what you said?
State PILT.
Oh, state PILT.
Yeah, we also get federal PILT as well, yes.
Okay.
Both. That's the state PILT, though, is passed through to the service district.
Service district.
So Grand County can't retain any of the state PILT because it's also mineral lease revenue. Mm-hmm. But we pass it on to our service districts.
So with the MBA and the... You just created or reactivated?
No, we've had our MBA since the 90s, I believe.
Reactivated it, let's put it that way.
Well, it's been active. This particular project, the reason I ran it through the MBA is, you know, with the expectation that there would possibly be a loan offer. So if we were to do a lease revenue type.
I mean, you had to re-elect your people is what I mean.
Oh,
it's not like it's been... Roland.
Yeah, and so our county commission serves as the MBA board.
Right. So is there an agreement? Have you gotten anything in paper or the agenda of the Special Service District to say that you're working together on this with the MBA, or is that something that has to happen in the
Can you answer that question, Bill, about the commitment that the service district's made?
I don't know that we have anything in writing other than the official account of the vote.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's call it. All right. I'm sorry. Are you completed with your question?
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Call the question, Candace. Roll call vote, please.
The Grand County Municipal Building Authority project, Jackson Street Drainage Mitigation Project, has been offered $909,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $447,000 grant, suspended fund.
Yes, thank you.
Treasurer Oaks.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Suspend and fund.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
Appreciate
you
very much. Work with us. Good luck on the project.
Thank you.
So finish the phase, all the phases. Don't come back.
Well, we've got more projects.
That'll never happen.
We'll get this project
done. Never ending.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Drill, baby, drill.
Start drill.
As Lemington is coming in, Candace, would you like to give a quick briefing on 4.4?
Number four on today's agenda of new projects is the town of Lemington. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Lemington, yeah.
Front maintenance storage building. Their request is for a $200,000 grant. They have applicant cash of $50,000, so the project total is $250,000. This project consists of the construction of a 24-foot by 86-foot insulated steel building on property the town already owns. This will include a storage bay, and it's for trailer storage and associated locations that can make use of the community center for just that rather than storage of items. It will also include you can read it. It has two 20-foot openings with two 12-foot wide overlapping gates. It has a bathroom, an ADA a handicap bathroom associated with it. The quotes were submitted May 1, 2021. The quotes documents indicated construction start date on the award of funds by the Community Impact Board would be submitted June 1, 2021. This is kind of past that, so I hope your quotes or the bids going forward will be able to be accommodated within that price range. In the public hearing minutes, we received one bid back after many attempts, and Steve Pratt gave a bid for $226,000, which was within the funding that you have asked for, but the board should be aware that that was May 1, 2021. I think the bids just barely came back in. The revenue for a loan repayment could come from $60,000 for water sales. Hopefully that is an approved use of those funds. And Magnum. Magnum Development is that Magnum gas storage facility in Millard County. It stores natural gas. It's a salt cavern, which is way cool, so I had to look it up when you said Magnum. Anyway, with that, it's just a straightforward project. It's a maintenance shed, and we turn the time over to the board and the applicant.
Thank you, Candace. If you'd like to introduce yourself and tell us about the project.
In a, just as background, in the early 80s with the building of the Intermountain Power Project, which is a coal-fired power plant, you know, Lemington experienced a growth. And they decided that with the increase in population, we needed a fire, volunteer fire department. So they went and cut a hole in the side of the old church, and they put the ramps. I think you've got pictures of the ramp and everything there that could be shown. and decided to park a fire truck down in the old primary room. And I'm grateful that I never had a chance to see that. You know, so I just get the opportunity to see all the equipment and the storage parts and the water repair parts that are stored down in there now. So it's my goal as the mayor to go ahead and turn the church back into a house of the people and to get rid of all this stuff out of the basement that could be stored better in a storage building and not stored out in the parking lots and stuff like this, which makes it susceptible to theft and when the people deliver our projects for water repairs and that type of thing. So given that project, this has been talked about in town board minutes and meetings for the last almost 30 years, you know, to go ahead and build this maintenance and storage building and go ahead and house all of our equipment and get it out of the weather and preserve it. So anyway, just to give you a little bit of a background so you have an idea, Leamington is a town of a whole 230 people, obviously, and our monthly income is about $7,500 a month, you know, and I'm sure that many of you have household incomes that exceed $7,500 a month. Otherwise, you couldn't afford to live here in the Salt Lake area and pay for housing. And so our monthly costs are about $5,700 a month of that $7,500 a month. That leaves us about $1,800 a month to repair leaks in the water system and do any maintenance on the meters and all that stuff for the water system. We have about $28,000 worth of loans every year for water enhancements. So we had one loan in 2010 and then another in 2015, and that's the $28,000. So obviously, the only way we can go ahead and afford to survive is to partner with Magnum Resources, which provides us with revenue. They buy the water that we have on our well rights to go ahead and go ahead and make the salt caverns out by IPP that will house the hydrogen and natural gas at this time. God, forgive me for the dry mouth. At this particular point in time, we're grateful for the CIB to go ahead and provide us the revenues that you've provided us with the two projects so far that we've accomplished. And we look forward to continuing working with the board to go ahead and get the money to build our maintenance and storage building and accomplish a goal that many in town have had for a long time. So that's why we're asking for the grant, because we just don't have a bunch of money to go ahead and spend on these projects that exceed more than about $10,000. You know, so we use a lot of volunteer labor, and we only have temporary employees that go ahead and provide for all the town functions. Just to go ahead and give you an indication, just one more thing, and that is that the state requirement to do daily chlorine water readings every day. We have to have somebody go do a chlorine water rating. That costs about $30 a day, which obviously is about $900 a month, which is $10,000 a year, which is one ninth of our entire budget to just accomplish that one new state requirement. So that's quite an impact to our budget.
Our heart goes out to you, Mayor Finlinson. It's definitely a difficult situation. The position we're in today is that granting funding is very difficult because we are looking at a deficit with a number of projects in front of us. So with that, we'll go to Commissioner Adams and then Commissioner Lytle.
I'm going to disclose too much information here. I teach primary, so I'm very sensitive that we get the fire truck out of the primary room and get it in another building.
Can you see Moab? Can you see your home from?
I'm not singing nothing.
I'll tell you what, though. I think it would be easier to entertain the primary kids if you did have a fire truck.
That's my only comment.
Thank you for that moment of good humor. Commissioner Lytle?
Can you see Leamington from
San Juan County?
Yeah, and I don't even have to see the basement. I can just see the top.
Okay.
Well, I sent in a nice picture of it. So, I mean, if they had it to show it, you'd be able to see it.
Thank you. Very difficult situation we're in right now in terms of making this completely easy for you, but you may have to consider some of the remote sensing for your chlorine, because I work with our water system in our little town of Dutch Jaw, and we had to do the same thing so that we're getting our chlorine readings to reduce the cost of somebody going in or doing it physically, having that ability to have it done through the...
Well, we checked with Jones in the Mill, which is our engineers, and they said it will be cost us over $100,000 to go ahead and get remote reading.
Right, you have to get a SCADA system in it.
Right.
It's a whole different program, but yep. Just to say everybody's dealing with different costs that way, and unfortunately that doesn't help you.
So unfortunately, we just got our new Colonial Water Master Plan, and they just went ahead and identified about $2.5 million in shortfalls in our water system. You know, and this summer it really highlighted it, because we have springs that provide our water, and they provide about 260 gallons per minute. And this summer, because of the drought, we got 60 gallons per minute, okay? And our well, because of rust and calcium deposits in the perforations and stuff like this, rather than being able to provide 400 gallons per minute, we're providing 90 gallons per minute. So that was only 150 gallons per minute. We literally had shut down water for a week to go ahead and be able to fill our tanks back up again due to the drought. So we've got to go ahead and get that fixed.
Yeah, and it's not going to get any better, is it?
No. Nope.
Treasurer Oakes, we understand you have a question.
Yeah, is there and maybe I missed this, Magnum revenue, and is that eligible for the project?
Mayor, can you tell us more about the revenue source the city gets from Magnum?
Yes. Right now, Magnum, we go ahead and we receive we sell them, we have 723 acre-feet of water from our well, and we were selling them 700 acre-feet, and we were getting, originally, before, when they weren't using the water, $35,000 a year. And now we get $81,000 a year because they're physically using our water from the well. And so we've been saving that money up to go ahead and make, put it into a rainy day fund, because when we had our last wildfire, it went ahead and had a flood after that, and it took out 400 feet of our water line, which up the canyon, which allowed us, cost us $100,000 to go ahead and reinstall that 400 feet of water line. And so we're looking to build up that rainy day fund, because we've had four wildfires in the last 5 years, you know, about 7 years come through that have impacted our town. And then we're looking at that water being able, because we feel that if we get a $2.5 million 50-50 loan from this resource that we're going to, which is Division of Drinking Water, USDA, and the CIB, that we would have to have a $1 million loan, which even at 40 years would be $25,000 a year. And Magnum is a finite ended agreement, you know, at 2025 with it, but they say they have 10 years of projects that they have on the books that they think they'll be able to do. So we have the finite end of that money at 10 years. And so we look at that being $800,000, which would maybe come real close to paying off $1 million, because obviously we can't do that from the funding of property taxes, sales tax, and water system revenue. So we're looking at using that Magnum to go ahead and do the shortfalls that we have in our water system.
Thank you, Mayor. Other questions? Mayor, Mr. Zanotti?
Thank you. Now, Mayor, did you get other bids recently to make sure that you are okay with that $200,000? because this is the year old, and in this economy, we have every month there's a new system and new money, new funding, new estimates.
Well, we feel that the money that we're asking for, that we can go ahead and build the project, even if we have to go ahead and do some of it with volunteer labor. Okay. You know, we don't want to come to the board for any more than what we're asking. Okay, we'd rather use volunteer labor to go ahead and make up the shortfall, which is build a pad, the dirt pad to put the concrete on, and go ahead and ask for volunteer labor from the town people to go ahead and do it. So we don't want to, we just want to limit the amount that we come to the CIB for to go ahead and do projects is what we're trying to do. And we feel that the money that we're asking for, we feel we can do it for the money that we're doing, $250,000 with the town contribution and with a grant.
What do you think the materials are going to be?
What are the materials going to be?
Regardless of what we do, what's the changing cost on materials?
Well, we put a 20% contingency in this bid, okay, which we don't think that the cost has gone up more than 20%. So we feel that the amount that we're asking for is adequate to build the building. Is what I'm saying.
Mr. Chairman, continue with the question.
Pardon me.
Sorry.
I'd rather take money out of my own pocket than to come to the board to ask for more, because you've been so gracious to give us, let us put our roof on our town hall, which has been fabulous. We have two wonderful roads right now from the last money that we got for the roads, and we don't want to go ahead and ask for more than what we're asking for.
So where's the $50,000 cash that you have is going to come from? Where is it sitting?
You didn't ask us to go ahead and put any in on our roads, and so we made it as a town council. We thought that because you saved us money on our roads, that we could go ahead and take that money that we have to go ahead and put towards this one here. So that's the reason why we put in. We didn't request a whole grant. We just requested the $200,000.
Okay.
It comes from the money we currently have on hand from rainy day fund.
Okay.
It's not C road money.
Huh?
It's not C road money.
It's not what?
It's not C road money. It's not from the B&C.
No.
Okay.
No. This is just from our rainy day fund that we build up, that we're going to take the money out of to go ahead and donate towards the building.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Mayor Phillips has been here three times, and every time I've been impressed with their minutes, public hearing minutes, and how wonderful he explains to the citizen what they try to do and what kind of condition and what kind of opportunities there. And my heart goes to Mayor, and he's just honest, one of my favorite mayors in the state of Utah. Thank you for being here.
I appreciate your kind comments.
No, I'm serious about that. And I know it's unusual. May I make some kind of motion? I know that Commissioner Adams is ready to do it. You want to?
Yep. I want to save the primary room.
Great.
I appreciate that, sir.
I want to make a motion that we grant the money as requested, and we suspend and fund it today.
I second that motion. I know that it's against the whatever the candidate said, but at this point, I know the mayor's not going to go home with a happy heart unless we give him that grant.
Open your pocketbooks. Treasurer Oakes, did you have a comment?
Yeah, can I, before we vote, can I request a song, Jesus Wants Bruce as a Sunbeam?
Please don't ask for what we might get.
Another city.
You can request it.
We have a motion on the table and a second. Candace, would you like the roll call vote?
Thank you. Keep in mind that as the board authorizes this funding, and if we are truly deficient in funds, it will be a while before you get a contract for this funding. The staff who is responsible for maintaining the balance to see that we don't go in the red gets to monitor it after the sunbeams make their motion.
What are sunbeams?
It's a good question.
I'll teach you later.
We'll take a break after this motion and have an instruction time.
So this is for a $200,000 grant for the maintenance storage building to Lymington. Treasurer Oakes.
My vote is subject to Commissioner Adams serenading us. Oh, yes.
No. We're out of time.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you. Congratulations,
Mayor. What's the exemption?
Good luck.
For the motion.
Hardship.
Hardship, financial hardship.
Okay.
Thank you.
Good luck. I'll be passing around a collection plate over the next 15 minutes while the rest of you are on break. And we'll reconvene.
I think I'll be in confession for what I'm thinking right now. So.
Take a quick break. 2 hours later.
Just go ahead. I'm ready to punch somebody.
I see him. We'll get the board in their seats.
So I want to make a motion.
I know you do. There's some logistical issues.
So it might be just the board.
Might be just you. Well, I'll go wherever you want me to.
A little persnickety there. Don't touch it.
Well, we'll reconvene with a briefing from Candace on Levan.
Number 5 on today's agenda is the town of Levan. The request is for equipment, which is a dump truck, plow truck. Their request is $200,000 in grant funding. They have applicant cash of $79,387 for a total project cost of $279,387. This consists of the purchase of the 2024 Peterbilt model dump 10 dump plow truck with projected cost of that $279,387. This replaces the town's 1987 International 10-wheeler. Don't sell it. Or you probably sell it for the cost of this one already. They had good public hearing minutes, February 9th, 2022. In the summer, they used this equipment to repair roads, haul dirt, gravel, sand, road base, anything that needs to be done. And in the winter, they use it. It can be done. It can be implemented for a snowplow. It indicates in the public hearing minutes that Peterbilt was the only one that would give them a quote. So the new truck is $280,000. Levan has $120,000 saved. They're asking for $200,000 of the total bid price. And if that goes up, their extra cash will accommodate the purchase of the truck. And with that, it's just straightforward equipment, and I turn the time over to the board.
Let's go to the applicant to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit.
I'm Mayor Rowley. We're here asking for a dump truck. We've been saving for that dump truck for 8 years, I believe it is, and during that time, the dump trucks are going up faster in price than we can save the money. As she mentioned, it's a 1987, and it's an old state truck, and it's the cab is actually collapsing, so we can't get the doors to close. And the dump truck really is the lifeblood of our town. I mean, we have to use that thing for everything, and so we're only, with the road funds that we have, we can only chip 2 roads every other year. And so for us to be able to do that, we're able to talk the county into coming out and putting the tar down for us, and then we haul all the chipping with the dump truck. So, you know, the dump truck is kind of probably the most used vehicle we have. And one of the things that that we are looking at is that we don't put a ton of miles on the truck, and So we kind of feel like if we could get some help with that, it'll be kind of a one-time fix for probably about 20 years. The truck, you guys helped us out with a building. The truck will be able to be kept in a building except for when it's being used. However, like when we go to get gravel or any of those kinds of projects, sometimes it can be a 35-mile round trip per load to the gravel pit. So, you know, right now we got this dump truck that the guys have a couple road signs over the floor because when they plow snow, it gets them wet. And, you know, my concern is, you know, safety issues there, you know. Yeah. I could cry if you want. That'll help. But with us being a small town, it's crazy. I mean, a dump truck is just one of the issues that we have, you know, in town. And so we're here to ask some help because we just flat don't have the money to just go out and get a dump truck. Like I said, we've saved that $100,000 that we have there, and that gives us a little more than what we're asking for in case that price of that truck's gone up. It seems like prices of things increase almost daily right now in our economy.
Yeah, amen, Mayor. So the situation that we're in, as you've heard, is that we are also out of money. Interestingly, we have two pots, money that we can grant and give away at 0%, and then money that we have to give out at interest. We have plenty to give out at interest, but no one can afford to take it. So the situation that you're faced with, Mayor, is either the board is feeling foolish and merciful, which we've seen before, or we can offer, you know, up to a $6,000 grant, which, again, is money we don't have, which would put you at a $194,000 loan at a 0.5% interest. So before we go to the board, I'm just curious, does the city have the ability to repay that, or if you kept some of your cash and we increased the loan amount, would that help? But we're looking at interest-bearing loan.
You know, depending on what we're offered, we could possibly come up with, you know, like an $8,000 a year payment if we could work something out along those lines.
You said what?
Like an $8,000 a year payment? Or?
Are you crunching that, Paul? Yeah. Mayor Oakes, did you have a comment? Or, I'm sorry, Commissioner, Treasurer? I'm sorry, I have low blood sugar.
I was going to ask a similar thing, just curious about the affordability of loan payment.
I beat you to the punch then.
Yes.
I apologize for that. Low blood sugar. I'm going to use that for today. Commissioner Adams.
I just wondered if Marlowe has some unclaimed money for the state of Utah that he wants to throw into the pot.
Yeah, it was under Bruce Adams' name, so yeah, I'll put that in.
Mr. Stevens?
Are we limited to the 10-year term on this type of, if it were to be a loan?
Let's ask the mayor what the repayment source would be if you did take a loan.
How many years? I'm sorry. I don't
know. No, we knew what the source of the repayment would be. What's the source of the income? Is it B&C taxes, sales tax?
Yeah, it would have, but it would have to be, well, it would be probably a combination of money that would come from our utilities. Okay. That use the dump truck.
Okay.
You know.
So utilities, we could go long.
Oh, so 15 right years.
Yeah, if they can pledge that revenue. Yeah.
So how old is this dump truck in 87?
87.
The one they currently have.
97, 2007, 70. So we could give them a 35-year loan.
You know, and the reason that we're actually, you know, we're not trying to be greedy and want a brand new truck. Our the issue is that if that truck is breaking down and we're getting, you know, a lot of you guys might know that commercial motors and things cost a lot of money. And so if we were to go out and buy another old used truck, then we face the problem of that truck being broke down and not being able to plow snow and those things like that, you know. And so we would like to try and get as new a truck as we can. And we have looked around at a lot of different trucks, but it seems like a lot of those trucks, we're going to have to take them home and put several thousand dollars in them to make them run good, you know.
What about lease?
We'd be really open to lease. I don't know that we've checked that out. The one thing that we did like about the idea of, you know, usually leases don't go a really long time, and we felt like that for the amount of miles that we put on it, we could buy a truck like that, and it probably could last 25 or 30 years, you know. And we felt like it would last long enough that I wouldn't care. You know, chances are in 30 years I won't be there.
You're thinking like a politician now.
We felt like that would be kind of a long-term solution to our problem.
Appreciate that, Mayor. Other questions from the board?
Let the next mayor worry about it, huh?
Yeah.
So what was the calculation for that mayor's request about the $8,000 payment?
Hold on, let's go to...
Mine's along those lines. What if you adjusted the term to 15 years?
It can't exceed
10 years?
Okay, no.
No, it could if we can verify that the...
So the truck will last for 15 years.
Well, if it was a new truck. The last one lasted 35 years.
40 years.
And we bought it used.
It's probably max for a piece of equipment.
Yeah,
I'd
be comfortable with 15.
So that gives you the 8,000, eh, right there. 8,046.
8,000 for 15 would give 120.
And that's at a rate of 0.5%.
Yeah. And that's a loan on how?
There you go.
Is that all loan or a mix?
50-50, right?
No. 58.
Will have to be more loan than grant.
Yeah, it is.
To stay above 100,000.
Well, you need an exemption for 50-50 because.
Okay, so this is within the tool?
No.
So 194
is
within the tool.
To get within the tool, they can't afford.
You got to do that.
They can't,
yeah. Right.
Unless we change the term enough.
Which, again, isn't our concern. If they can't afford it, they don't have to take the deal, right?
Right.
So.
Chairman, I'll be brave. I'll make that motion that we do $116,000 loan, 15 years, 0.5%, so it can come out of the bonus, and do an $84,000 grant, which would make the annual payment of $8,000. $46 a year, and suspend and fund.
What kind of condition?
Hardship.
Thank you, Mayor.
I second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
You covered all the bases. Nagy seconds that motion. Any discussion on the motion?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
How much cash are you putting into the thing? That's what I couldn't.
Almost right 80, now, we were going to put. It was like 79, so it was 80,000 basically, and we had. But we do have that. I believe it's 100 there. I looked at them numbers just in the last few minutes. But we do have the extra because the truck might go up. And so we thought if we had that extra 20,000, that will compensate whatever we need if the snowplow was to go up or the truck was to go up. You know, we don't want to come back and say, hey, thank you, but.
So the total project for the truck and I assume a new plow and the bed and everything is how much?
$280,000. Is that correct?
And we're asking for, and we're providing 200 of it.
Right.
Is that okay? I'm sorry, it just took a minute.
No,
to make sure I had everything in the game. All right.
Seeing no further questions, roll call vote, Candace, please.
The town of Levan equipment, 116,000, 15 year at 0.5% loan, 84,000 grant. Treasurer Oaks.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very
much. Suspend and fund.
If we are to locate something that maybe a year old or something that is under that, that'll still be okay, won't it, if we don't spend all the money?
Just work with staff on that. Yeah, you don't have to spend
all
the money.
I can give you less. I can't give you more.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, before you go, you have to answer one question.
It would reduce the grant.
Is that true that Levan spells backward naval, and yes, that is the middle of the state, coming from south to north?
We always thought it was, but apparently it's just over the hill. By Mount Pleasant is the exact center of the state. So.
Really?
At least with the governor we have right now.
Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Mayor Robin.
Well done. Next up, we have North Logan City. We'll invite them to come forward. And Candace, please brief us.
North Logan City is number 6 on today's agenda. For a new community center, their request is a $5 million loan, 30-year at 1.5%. The project consists of a civic center expansion to include 13,000 square foot multi-purpose community center addition with an indoor large open room and amenities for senior citizens programs. It has other items. It will have a children's library. It will have renovations to the existing library, upgrades to technology, and modifications for growth in the city's existing 8.3 acres, which they own, 475 East, 2500 North, and North Logan. The city will install an adjacent park area, associated parking, water lines, sewer laterals, and stormwater accommodations on site. Is the city installing those independent of this funding, or is this funding including those amenities? The timetable indicates the project was to go to bid in March 2022. I think that ship has sailed. Has the project been bid? And the construction is scheduled to start in June 2022, if you would verify that as well. And we hope this helps with North Logan's identity crisis.
Well, welcome both. If you'll introduce yourselves and tell us a little bit about the project, maybe answer Candace's questions, whatever you'd like.
Sure. Board members, thank you for taking the time to hear our request today. I myself drove up last night from Emory County after visiting family, and it sounds like I'm not the one who drove the furthest today. So I'm Lindsay Peterson. I'm the mayor of North Logan, and this is Alan Luce. He's the city administrator for North Logan City. North Logan City does a lot of things well. We have the most parkland per capita in the entire state. We have a very high utilization of that parkland and of our recreation programs. We run a very efficient city with not a lot of funding. But there are some things that we don't do very well. The first very obvious one is that we are North Logan. We are named relative to Logan City. So we're often in the shadow of Logan. And as part of that efficiency as a city, we've been running with a very, I would say, inadequate city office building. I don't currently have an office there. But part of our vision with this project is to create a city center that is a place where everyone can go for all of the city functions. And a big core part of that is this community center. We lack an indoor place for gathering our citizens. We currently share the library space for our city council meetings. But as you might have heard, it gets pretty cold in North Logan City, and we do lack that indoor space to gather our citizens. Today we are asking you for $5 million. That is for this community center building at a 1.5% rate over 30 years. I think Alan can speak probably to some of those specific questions that you asked.
Thank you. You asked regarding the surrounding area, whether those projects and mainly the utility lines and the surrounding parkland would be independent. Yes, they would be. Those would be funded out of impact fees and other enterprise accounts from the city. We have bid the project, and we're still going through some of the work on trying to get those costs down. As all the projects have brought to light today, costs are not decreasing by any means in the last few months. So we want to sharpen our pencils, make sure we're pinpoint accurate before starting this project. And so we have bid that. And we do plan on starting this summer, June to July of 2022, if that is possible.
Thank you. Let's go to the board for questions. Commissioner Lytle, we'll start with you and then go to Mr. Stevens.
So you said that it would be the library property tax that you're looking at using as your funding source?
Yes, the dedicated library property tax.
Okay. And then in terms of the percent that you're asking, I'm assuming you knew that you were outside the, hopefully, at 1.5%, is that what you asked for?
Yes.
And it looks like the tool tends to want you to be at 2.5%.
The standard for Cache County, Washington County, as Noggy knows, is 2.5%.
Okay. We have even paid 4.5% in one project.
Because they're non-revenue generating counties generally charge the 2.5%.
Right. Well, I just had that question and comment, so thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner. Let's go to Mr. Stevens and then Commissioner Ogden.
My question is, you indicated that you have bid the project. What have those bids come in, how much higher than the $5 million that you're requesting?
We've still gone through several bid processes right now. The original bids did come in around that amount for just the building itself. Obviously, things have increased depending on what steel or structural items we've needed, so we might even have to modify the type of structural building that we use to reduce those costs to get it back under that $5 million. But we're still in that process right now, working with the contractor and the architect.
Okay.
Commissioner Ogden?
I guess that was my question. Have you got enough, for the construction of this thing? That was my question for this. But I would entertain, make a motion.
I have a question, Mr. Chairman.
Let's go to the question first.
Okay. Is it okay?
And then we'll go back to you, Commissioner Ogden. Mr. Zanotti?
Mayor Peterson, I personally believe that the library is the place, gathering place for young and old, no matter the season. Thank you for trying to do that, especially if you're going to have some kind of office to operate from that building.
That's not the sole motivation, but it would be nice. Yeah, that's how I initially got involved with the city, and I have a real passion for our library, mm-hmm. and it exceeds what a library for our town could be, and it really is kind of the gem of our community already. So, but they're just bursting at the seams.
It is beautiful. Just personal question, have you considered bake sale, car wash?
You know what?
Mayor's walk.
Not only have we considered it, we have a whole host of fundraisers planned for this summer that are in the works, and we've considered a gamut of ways to raise money. And I think we do have the citizen support here. Every time we bring this up in surveys, in city council, we get enthusiastic support for this. But we are counting on both of those sources of funding, both getting money from our citizens, but also a loan through the CIB.
The reason I'm asking that, because personally I know that Rockville, town or mayor, they had asked for the money for the bridge restoration, which was one of the historical bridge. Finally, they decided to go through the town and the pride of town come together, and they didn't even use the money from us. They build and remodel their bridge. So anyway, there's an option.
Yeah, I think we'll be exhausting all levels of fundraising. We do have a very detailed plan for raising money in our community that we're going to need both sources.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Let's go back to Commissioner Ogden.
Well, I'm going to make a motion. I guess it doesn't really matter whether we're in the minimum or the maximum.
They're all the same.
But I would make a motion that we give them a loan at 2.5% for 30 years.
Suspend the fund. I second that motion.
That's in order. We have a motion by Commissioner Ogden and a second by Mr. Zanotti to loan $5 million, 30 years, 2.5%. Any questions on the motion?
Call the question.
Candace, will you please roll call vote for the motion?
Treasurer Oakes?
Yes.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Suspend and fund.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Don't forget pecan pie for the bake sale, Mayor.
Okay.
Next up, we have Fillmore City on the pending project. So welcome back. Candace, would you give us an update?
Yes. Welcome back, Fillmore. It's numbered, the pending project, sorry, is it was numbered as number two. One of the other pending projects withdrew. They will be back. This is Fillmore City's new fire station. It was advanced November 4th, 2021. It was on the pending list February 3rd per the board and the applicant's decision. What the issue was is that they wanted to check and see how this project was affected by HB 303, which is a bill that required ambulance service. It's a new bill, and what was uncertain is whether or not that bill was in force at this time, because it was indicated that that's an expensive pursuit for cities and towns. So they don't have an ambulance service. They didn't have an ambulance service at that time. In an email sent March 28th in anticipation of the April 7th, 2022 CIB meeting, the board will again discuss Fillmore City's application, and they are here to provide clarification as to how Fillmore City feels HB 303 should affect the CIB funding for the fire station project. The applicant is requesting 50% grant, 50% loan, and that's outside the tool range. With that, we can discuss this again.
Good morning, board. We appreciate your time again. I'm Mayor Holt and Kevin Norton, our recorder administrator. The House bill with the decision, the county has come to us wanting us to provide rescue service for I-15, which is in our boundaries. And with that being said, the equipment that we have on hand now, the truck is 34 years old, and it will not continue to do the job as we need it, so we're in the process of buying a new rescue truck to fulfill the county's wishes of meeting the requirements of fulfilling the rescue service along with their ambulance service. So, and if we don't provide the rescue service, then we get billed the $150,000 so they can do it. So we're trying to balance things out.
Sharing resources,
yes.
In essence. Okay, thank you.
So that's what we're here for, is to see if the board will be willing to go the 50-50 to 50% loan, 50% grant, so we can take care of it.
What was the original agreement that we approved?
It was a $612,000 grant and a $2.988 million 30-year 1% loan.
The 1% was not?
Yeah. 1% was actually lower than the tool.
It says red. I'm trying to understand that part.
No, they asked for 1%, and it is within the tool range minimum. Sorry.
Okay.
Keith.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Commissioner.
So I'm not quite clear on how HB 303 verified the affordability of the funding. What's the question?
They had to purchase this rescue truck now with the available funds.
They chose to.
So they chose to, because they either had to provide $150,000 annually to support rescue services for I-15 or provide services with their own equipment. So they chose to buy equipment, which added another financial hardship, according to Fillmore City. And so they wanted the board to consider that extra cost, which was not anticipated in their...
The first time that we came to the...
So your financial situation is different regardless of HB 303, which provoked the conversation with Miller
County. It's changed the conversation with us, yes. Providing we have
but
to provide.
You made the choice to engage that way rather than, and then come back to us to fix it.
Yes.
It's kind of hard to say it that way, but.
Well, we fixed it because in the long run it's going to cost us more to pay out instead of buy the equipment and provide the service.
Based on your choices.
Yes.
I'll make the hard motion that we stay with what we've provided and let them work on it a little bit more on how they can make it work or not.
So your motion is the $612,000 grant, $2.98 million 30-year at 1%?
And stay with what we did, yeah.
Stay with that.
To provoke the question, I'm not necessarily happy to do that by any means. But I don't know how we accept that responsibility at this stage of the game, considering our financial situation.
Okay.
Chairman, I'll second that motion.
Motion by...
Spend and fund.
Thank you. Motion by Commissioner Lytle, a second by Mayor Baker.
Substitute motion, Mr. Chairman.
That will be in order. Go ahead.
50-50, 30 years, 1.5%. That covers our bases and their bases for the hardship.
So it takes more out of the minimum
than the average number. So a 50-50, 30 years,
those numbers
a half a percent?
One and a half.
One and a half.
1.5.
1.5.
What's 50-50?
Let's look at
dollars. I know it's on the application or something.
Should be on the screen right now.
So we're jumping from 612 to 1.8 million coming out of the mineral lease?
Yeah. It just bumps that more grant out of the mineral lease.
What does that do with our deficit, Brenda? Bear with us for a minute.
Yeah.
200,000. Can we legally do that? Encumber funds? I'm asking the hard question.
We cannot release the funding that we don't have. So
we can encumber them.
So we couldn't even suspend
it. They won't get a loan authorization or a grant contract until.
But if we do suspend and fund, how do we do
apply? Yeah, we still have to.
Still have to. That's, I understand. I'm just trying to make sure we're.
You can award it, and you have.
Fully aware of that. And in deference to the motion, I get it. I would love to do that, but I don't. That's my difficulty right now.
So we have a motion on the table from Mayor Baker.
Is there a second?
Jack. And then no. I seconded it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, we got the motion second,
Jack
but.
The
substitute
was
not.
And I don't know if it was seconded.
My mistake. We have a motion from Mr. Zanotti. Is there a second to the substitute motion?
50-50, 1.5%.
If it is going to go to in the hole, no. I will withdraw my motion.
Motion withdrawn. Back to the original motion. Any questions on that? Seeing none, I'll call the question and put it to a roll call vote.
This is for the existing funds that were placed on the priority list. A $2,988,000 loan, 30-year at 1%, and a $612,000 grant. Treasurer Oakes.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens.
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor.
Yes.
Commissioner Adams.
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. Suspend and fund.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Best wishes.
Good luck, guys.
Yes, thank you.
A heavy burden.
Keith?
Yes, Commissioner.
So did we just give them the same terms that they had before?
If they were only on the priority list.
Yes.
And we wanted reconsideration.
Okay.
So in essence, we didn't reconsider.
Well, I just wondered why we didn't. Well, we didn't deny the request.
No.
Well, we denied the request for 50-50.
In essence, yeah.
What? I misunderstood you, Bruce. What were you asking?
Did we change it?
A dumb question.
No, I wasn't. No, I did.
I just wondered if we'd already given them the same thing that they had before, why we didn't just deny the request.
That was my question as I was trying to figure out how to make the motion, and I chose to.
You did good.
Yeah, you could have just denied that.
Well, it hadn't been funded yet.
And
it was on the priority
list.
And it hadn't been funded.
And we did do the suspended fund.
Thank you, Candace, for keeping
us. I looked into it if I did right.
Huh? So number 7 is supplemental. That requires a motion to hear. Is that correct?
So moved.
No.
Okay.
Supplemental does not.
So 6 County Association of Governments. Candace, please, will you please give us a briefing?
As he bravely walks down the aisle.
All by himself.
I don't have any friends.
You're among
number
friends.
The first supplemental.
I think you
supplemental.
Have about 8 of us up here based on what we did for you last time.
Thank you.
The first supplemental request on today's agenda is from 6 County Association of Governments for the AOG Administration Building and Warehouse. This was funded March 4th, 2021 as an $8,581,000 grant. The request today for supplemental funding is a $1,700,000 additional grant. The new project total would then be $10,706,000. It's the same scope of work. They didn't change anything to incur this extra cost. Construction bids came in higher than expected due to inflation and rising construction costs. They do have a bumped up contingency in this amount because they don't want to have to come back to the board again. So with that, that's what they're requesting. And I turn the time over to the board.
So I don't know if you mentioned it and I missed it, but this does come out of the large infrastructure fund, so it does not affect the balances we've been trying to work with. It's a different pot of money. And what's the balance on that fund?
Yeah. Other than it diminishes
before?
That fund.
Yeah,
we have the balance. It's still in the black. We've taken the, we switched it around. It still has the total balance after the
how
board,
much?
Should they choose to authorize this, $5 million.
We may want to move that over.
Yeah, if we just enter the large infrastructure fund.
Mr. Keel, welcome.
Hello.
Anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. We recognize the ask here. It's large, and we appreciate the generosity in last year in funding our building. Just want you to know we took this very seriously as we hired an architect. We also hired a construction control corporation. We feel like one of the best cost estimators in the state. We shot low, quite frankly, because we knew what the construction industry was doing. We knew what inflation was doing, and so with our construction budget, we actually designed, or we attempted to design, $1 million short of what we had in hopes that this would not happen. And so we tried very hard to work within those parameters. Quite frankly, we got 3 bids back. The one that we're working with obviously brings in this additional ask of 1.7. The other 2 bids were over $2 million higher than the low bid, we just received the 3. So it's obviously a very challenging time to build. We are ready. We have everything in place. The question will probably come up: well, how do we know it's not just going to continue to go up? As already alluded, we're trying to increase our contingency to prepare for that, as well as we're ready to pull the trigger on steel, basically everything that we can, in order to protect the number that's out there today. So. Thank you for the opportunity to visit with you today, and look forward to any questions.
Thank you. Commissioner Adams, we'll start with you.
Motion to approve.
I'll second that.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the motion?
Have
we have a question from Commissioner Lytle.
No, what do you call it? A different motion.
Substitute.
Substitute motion.
That was quick.
Loan at 0.5%. The thinking I am working from, even though it's large infrastructure, is I think there's going to be other pulls on large infrastructure if it fits into the funding source.
Let's go to Commissioner Ogden.
Remember when we done this original funding, our AOGs, we don't have the capacity to take loan. It would have to come out of the funds of the county that go back to the county. And that's not something that we've been doing. It's not something that these entities do. They are working with the program in these counties and working very hard. I've been involved with Travis in some of this, and we've worked pretty serious with this. We've met with, like I said, the architects. We cut a lot of things out. We've changed a lot of things. And due to the inflation, I'm concerned that that may not even be enough. But our ALGs are one of those things that's very, very impactful to all of our communities.
I agree.
So
I mean, I understand it, and I know that we've had loans at our AOG. So the reason I make the point is that I think we all are understanding that. I'm just looking at the opportunity to maintain the funds in a different way.
Mr. Keel, would there be any funding?
There's not. So we currently are
in your county.
Yeah, there's not. We currently are operating over 65 state and federal contracts, and that is our only revenue source aside from the counties. And the counties just contribute matching dollars to those contracts, and so there are no revenue sources that would allow us currently to repay a loan.
Thank you. Thus the need to reconsider other resources.
Absolutely. I mean, we looked at those the first go-around, and we did our due diligence. There was no other opportunity to pay for a loan.
I just comment, and I'm going back with what Jack said. We, UNA Basin Association of Government, was told, and we did take a loan on. So I hadn't talked to Jack, but I was going to look at offering him on this of doing. Let me get back to my look right here. $700,000 in from just the. Is with a 0.5% and the $1 million coming out of the bonus fund so that they'd have a $700,000 loan at a 0.5% so it would not be taken from the grant money. Because we're in the red already. Would you mind a substitute motion on that to see if that would go?
Jack, we're taking this out of the large infrastructure.
Take that $1 million out of the large infrastructure as a grant.
Yeah.
And the $700,000 at a 0.5%, and it can just come out of the bonus fund. That's what my thoughts are.
So to answer your question on the UNA Basin.
That makes it fair for even, I mean, we feel like, you know, we had to.
Yeah.
We're not asking a lot. You understand?
Absolutely.
Over 30 years, that's.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my, if that's all right, Jack, my substitute motion? Or
you're entitled. Yeah.
Okay, I didn't want to jump in on you.
No.
Okay. So there is a substitute motion. Is there a second to that motion?
I'll
based
second
on
it.
The conversation. Mr. Stevens seconds that motion. Discussion on the substitute motion, Mr. Zanotti.
Wish. So, Travis, you heard the wise counsel from Mayor Beck and the previous applicant. If you can scale down, do so in order to save the face and save the money. I'm just suggesting if you can eliminate maybe the men's urinal and the ladies' powder room, that should save you $1 million, right?
Right, yes. Yeah, and as Commissioner Ogden said, we've scaled down as far as we feel like we can go. To answer your question, and yes, we visit with you in a Basin AOG a lot up there with Laurie, and you know, we obviously do charge, we pay rent right now. We're in the basement of the Sevier County Administration Building, and man, the rent's expensive over there. They think their real estate's worth a lot. So we do pay rent to them, and those are obviously the dollars that we do charge to the programs, right, to cover those costs. And we've done our due diligence on our O&M for the new building, right? And we're already going to be slightly short on the O&M cost for the building, and so we all will be already raising our rents to our programs and to our counties that for those matching dollars to simply just cover the O&M on the building. So there is already going to be an additional cost to us and to our programs and to our counties just to cover the operating expenses, because, quite frankly, yes, I wish that someone had had the foresight to build this building, you know, 20 years ago or however long it was that UBAG built theirs for, I think, $1.8 million or $2 million at that, you know, at that time, and it would have absolutely worked. But with these numbers today and where we stand, taking on that loan would be very, very hard.
Commissioner Taylor, did you have a comment or question?
Yeah, I'm just telling you, whatever you do, you probably ought to do it as quick as you can, because his cost, I promise you, is jumping daily. I also work in the construction business, and prices move on a daily basis. I'll be honest, I don't know how his contractor has even held this price. I worry that this project is even going to get underway without it jumping again.
Thank you, Commissioner. Mr. Webb?
Just for my, what six counties are we talking about? I know it's an AOG, but what six counties do you represent? I'm
sorry. Juab, San Pete, Sevier, Paiute, Wayne, and Millard.
And two of them are the poorest counties in the state, so they're going to have a hard time trying to help participate in anything for the long.
Right, and I'm sensitive to that, being the poorest one in our AOG. I get that part of it. It's just
so
trying to figure out how to make
call it work. The question on the substitute motion.
Hey, Keith.
I'm sorry. Do you want to make a comment first?
I don't know how they're going to do it. How are they going to pay a loan?
They have no
revenue source to pay a loan. I guess the only thing you can do is go back and ask the counties to contribute more, and I did. I don't know how this is going to happen.
Counties don't have any money.
No, that's what I'm saying. The counties don't have any. We're trying to keep the doors open on some of the programs that we're running right now. And Paiute, 1,200 people in that whole county, and I think their whole budget's $14,000 a year. I don't know what you are in yours, Jack, but and Wayne County's even worse than that. So,
in terms of what we participate at the AOG, yeah, it's a tough call. I understand what I'm.
Travis, will this kill the project if you have to take a loan?
Yeah, the problem would be is going back as already been mentioned, the cost is going up daily. So for us, every day we go back and try to scale the project down, right? Because at the end of the day, I know we can't come up with the money to pay the loan. So we'd have to try to scale the project back by $700,000. The time that it will take us to do that with the architect and with the contractor, the cost of the project will go up more than $700,000. So,
but if we pass this motion and force them to take a loan, do they have to take the loan, or I mean, can they scale it back and just take the grant?
No. No.
They can't do that.
They can take the loan, scale it back in percentages. First.
Yeah.
You can take less of all of it.
Then to answer your question, yes, it'll kill us.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Then they can come back in a few more
Mr.
years
Stevens?
And request for a lot more.
Based on the discussion that we've just had, I'll withdraw my second.
Thank you, Mr. Stevens. Is there another second? Seeing none, we go back to the original motion. I'll call the question on the original motion. Candace, roll call vote, please.
The original motion is to grant the additional supplemental funding to Six County Association of Governments in the amount of $1,700,000. I believe that motion was Adams and Ogden.
Yes, and from which fund?
It will be from the major infrastructure, large infrastructure fund. Marlo Oaks.
Yes.
Sorry. Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
No.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
I don't know. Is that an abstain?
It's an abstain.
I'll go aye.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Taylor?
Yes, and I need to check out.
Thank you.
Thank you for your attendance,
Thank you.
Commissioner.
Thank you.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes with one nay vote.
Thank you all very much. We recognize the magnitude of this and really appreciate it, and this will benefit our region for the next 50 to 100 years. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you. Well, Mayor Nay, I don't know the sentiment in the room if you want to come up or not, but we invite you. And Candace, will you brief us on the
second supplemental request on today's agenda? Welcome, Mayor. Is for Gunnison City. Their request is in the same terms as the original funding. It's a $600,000 request, $150,000 loan, 10-year at 1%, and a $450,000 grant. This is for roadway improvements. The board funded this as a $1,200,000 grant and an $880,000 loan for 10 years at 1%. The total loan would now be increased by the 150 loan. Construction bids came in higher than expected due to inflation and rising construction costs. This is the theme of the day. And with that, it's the same road construction project. Nothing has been added to increase the cost. It just increased.
Thank you.
Fair.
Well, it's very humbling to be before you today and ask for more money. It really is. But if it weren't such an important structural, it's the bones of our community. We are growing so tremendously right now. We just approved 80 new homes in our community. We've got a great new big building. Our carbon fiber industry is really starting to grow. We're looking to have France actually locate all of their prophylactic limbs to our community, and we just got word of that this week, and we're trying to make all that happen. And so the timing is so perfect on this road, because even though it says cemetery road, that's our industrial parkway. It goes to our industrial park. So we need all of this infrastructure in place so that we can make it work. We really worked hard to try to find a way to cut out $600,000, but it was completely impossible. And we have upped what we can bring from the city. We're adding another $265,000. We know that these numbers are good, at least pretty good, because we've already got a bid in place and we already increased our contingency. So I think we're in a good place to get it all done if we can get your support today.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you.
Questions from the board?
So you mentioned that a developer is coming in, and that's part of the reason why you need these additional roads. I know that when I go to the planning and zoning board of my city or county, I get to pay for a road. So what are you doing that in this situation? Can you go back to the developer and try to get more money out of them?
No, I'm just talking about the road that enters into there. When it comes to actually improving the industrial park roads itself, of course, that'll be the developer that'll do that. This is something that we've already got 350 people that work there, and also the prison that is there using that facility road. And it's only 20 feet wide, and we have 350 people on it every day. That's just one of the parts of our roads that need help. And then we're doing also storm drainage and other things on the west part of our town so that we can actually now put in these everything else that's happening in our community. We're just behind the eight ball here. It's deferred maintenance, really. So.
Mayor Baker.
A question for Candace here. You talked that they were just requesting the same split that what the other one was. I calculated, maybe I did it wrong, but I had it a little different on the loan grant mix. I had 345 loan, 255 grant. Could you verify that mix would be the same?
I could. Tell them how.
Any other questions while we do that, Matt?
Yeah.
Until next Christmas.
Commissioner Ogden?
I think this is a worthy project. I know that they're growing astronomically there in Gunnison with the prison right there, and also with the composite that's going on. They've expanded their composite there in that area as well. If any of you are familiar with the gun operation there, they've got one of the most tremendous facilities there that make guns, and they continue to expand that. They're employing people from all over San Pete and various places, but this is the road that goes into these facilities, and it does impact a lot of in and out of that area. So I think it's a good, worthy project.
Thank you.
Any luck with math?
Yeah, the loan would be 228 to be in the same terms as the original funding. The original funding was about 39% of the total, so 39% of that total.
So it's 372 would be the grant, and 228 would be the loan.
234.
Which one? That one?
Previously. Well, if that's right. So this is...
252.
Is it reversed though? That one says reversed. Is 50.
Yeah, we're just adding two.
So, was the request to be along the same line to, in terms of percentages or ratio? An increase of 600,000, maintaining the same ratio.
Same ratio.
It should have been. Yep. Yes.
Yeah, that's what I'd make as a motion,
so it
Chairman.
So it'd be a 252 loan. You show it there. If you put the new funding, just the new.
Just.
Right.
Yeah, additional, just to match up with what we had approved.
And we'd be okay with that.
I'll second the motion if the motion was accepted.
Was there a motion, Mayor Baker?
Motion was to match up with the previous in the percentages.
Based on the original percentages. Mm-hmm. And a second by Commissioner Lytle. And any questions on the motion?
Suspended fund?
It's supplemental. Yeah. Yeah. So thank you.
Just wanted to make sure.
Get the numbers dialed in.
This is for a $252,000 loan at 10 years at 1%, and the rest grant.
Thank you for catching that.
Treasurer Oaks.
Yes.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Mayor Baker.
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden.
Yes.
Mr. Lytle.
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
He's gone. Absent. Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Thank you,
Mayor. Best wishes with the road projects.
Thank you.
We're glad someone's experiencing growth. It seems we're either growing too fast or we're not growing at all.
Well, it seems to be a really good, healthy pace right now.
That's
but
good.
I just wanted to take just a minute to thank you all for all you do for rural Utah. And I hope when you go out for drives that you notice all the difference that you make in rural Utah. If you come through our main street, just notice our beautification efforts. It's all your fault. So anyway, we appreciate you here.
I will say I drove through on Saturday and it looked lovely. So.
All right. Well, thank you so much.
Keep smiling.
Is that a good day?
Am I fired? All right. Next up, we have special consideration. This does require a motion from the board to be heard.
So moved. Second.
We have a motion by Mr. Zanotti, a second by Commissioner Lytle.
Treasurer Oaks. Sorry, what am I?
You're voting to hear the special consideration.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yes, but I do need to go.
Thank you, Treasurer.
Mr. Webb.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye. Present.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are
in the interest of expediting things, this is just a request to change the name of the legal recipient to different... service district, I guess. Candace, anything more than that?
The name will be changed to the Zion Mountain Local Service District. The amount of funding remains the same. This project was funded February 4th, 2021. This is simply to change the funding entity.
So, anything to add, Commissioner? I see you've got your A-team with you. So.
Yes, I definitely have the A-team. And I do want to say that I really appreciate the consideration of the board and what you've done in the past, and the approval of this in the past. This is a change in the entity that will be building, constructing this project and owning and maintaining this project. The funding source for the debt service will be the same. It will come out of the CRA monies that the county, we've established the CRA, and the TIF money that comes out of that will be used to fund this. So funding is the same. We have effectively restarted the project with money. We were able to receive $2.9 million from the Governor's Office of Economic Opportunity to go toward this project, which allows us to get started right away pre-CIB bond issue and all those kinds of things. And that's the money we'll be consuming for that. And then, for any cost overruns and stuff, just real quickly to introduce Kevin McClaws, who is the a member of the board of the local service district. Scott Stay is the a principal with CM&D, which is an international construction management firm. They are employed by the LSD, and they have been working on this since, quite a few months. And they are, they're doing the assessment. We have some of the best project management expertise in the country and in the world, really, to help manage this project and get it going. They're anticipating a groundbreaking by the end of August. And so things will move forward now, I think, very quickly. And we're excited to have this project going with your support, of course.
And Commissioner Adams?
Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Adams, a second by Commissioner Ogden to approve. Discussion on the motion? Mr. Stevens.
Over the past several days, we've received a number of letters and correspondence from concerned citizens regarding the change. I guess my question is, how do you respond to those? How do we consider those concerns?
Well, there's probably two issues there. One is we've been out, we've had public hearings and a number of town hall meetings in the communities concerning this project, and what you're hearing from is we're absolutely certain is a very vocal minority. But that led, I think, in part to the change of the ownership of this, because this project was going to be King County. This project now is a limited service district, which is a subdivision of the county, and those people who vote are those people that live within the limited service district we have. They filed a petition with the county with roughly 90% of the landowners in support of this project, of them taking over the project. So for the effective people, the people that are in fact affected by this project, you have over 90% of the people that have signed on saying yes very much they want this project to happen there. So right, it's an interesting time these days when you have people in these small communities that just don't want to see anything happen. And that's what you see going on there. But again, at this point in time, while we appreciate their comments and input, the people whose vote counts are the people that 90% of them said yes.
Any further questions? Appreciate you addressing that. Mr. Zanotti?
So, Commissioner, you're in the position to start this project immediately. There will be no delays.
The project was left with a significant amount of architectural work, but it was just the initial design work completed. That's been on hold for a year, basically. That project, that work is restarting now as we speak. They're in the process of restarting. Again, we have another source of money, therefore we're not relying upon getting to that point where the bonds are issued and the loan money is available. So yes, the work is underway now, is starting, and we will be accessing this money from the GOEO, that's hard to say, anyway, the GOEO office very quickly. The invoice, the county has submitted an invoice to the state, to that GOEO, I believe tomorrow is when it will hit their desk for roughly $1.1 million to get started with right away.
Okay.
And that money, they say, is, I'm assured that that'll be a turnaround of a few days after they receive that invoice.
Seeing nothing else, Candace, I'll vote, please.
It is noted that this is just a change of entity from Kane County Municipal Building Authority to Zion Mountain Local Service District. Same amount of funding, same scope of work.
That's correct.
Mr. Webb?
Yes.
Mayor Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner Ogden?
Yes.
Commissioner Lytle?
Yes.
Mr. Stevens?
Yes.
Commissioner Adams?
Yes.
Mr. Zanotti?
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously with those present.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to having you come down and see a product here soon. And we're hoping to get you down there to see the previous one you funded, which is the Knapp Center.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, that takes us to our next steps. And again, we had a couple of things that we wanted you to think about. Obviously, very difficult situation we're in, trying to fund projects as they come along. Now you can see the wisdom in the way that the system was established decades ago and the way we've maintained it through the years, and the effects of opening up the fund to legislation and other things that throw wrenches in the works, so to speak. But we work with what we have, and I appreciate your service and the attempts to do so in an equitable manner. Again, we've got, I think, four projects for our next meeting remaining in this trimester. There could be a couple that are still on pending lists that pop up, but given the funding situation, not likely. Oh, do we have the numbers up here? Oh, there, those are the projects. So those four, lines 30 through 33. And then we've got five on the pending.
If they all come back in. We did Fillmore today.
So how far are we in the hole?
Do you have that information? It's coming up as well.
4 million.
4.3. And we normally get a couple million in a month. So we could be looking at a hole, which we would have to take out of those projects coming in next time.
Also, you can move funding from the major infrastructure set aside. It is the same color of money as the mineral lease account, that is grants, 0% loans, and interest-bearing loans. You can...
I'm probably blocking that view for some of you, but does that include money that was taken out from Six County already? So we have ample funds there, so we could also do a transfer of funds.
Did you say it does or does not reflect the Six County?
It does. So at the next meeting, whenever that may happen, there is... Barely.
We'll make it work.
We'll make it work.
Yeah. So, again, difficult situation. So, the next meeting, again, I know this doesn't work for everyone, but we will accommodate with Zoom to the best of the ability. And if we need a quorum, so if you can't make it, that's not the end of the world. But we're looking at Friday, April 29th, which is, 3 weeks? We would, again, do that via Zoom and live. Unless the board was inclined not to do a live meeting, and then we could do it all via Zoom. So that would be 9 o'clock here with those four projects currently on the list and a possible another four coming off the pending. So right now we've got commitment, I think, from 5 that April 29th was okay.
5, 6, 7, 8.
We've got 8 saying
well, that
that's okay.
Aaron.
Okay, well, he's important.
So the 29th is...
It's Friday.
Understood, and that's what came out of the responses.
Right.
We have UAC.
Fewer could do May 3rd.
What was May 3rd?
It was a Tuesday.
Issue.
May 3rd. What that accommodates is this board as constituted completing the trimester.
Changes. When does that act, Bill? Go into
May 4th.
Fourth. Okay. Thus, the need for. Or the problem with the 5th.
Bruce, are you going to bow out of UAC? We've got three of us that are
going. What time is the UAC meeting? Is it in the morning?
UAC won't be on Friday. It's Thursday.
Oh, it's just Thursday?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So
as far as
that's
not
on
the agenda.
That's good.
That's why Friday should work.
So, Kate, do we have names of people that are going to be...
Those have not been determined
on
yet.
...on the board?
So we still have the whole process... names and the Senate, the governor's office.
The whole kit and caboodle, yeah.
So we will not have May meetings, right?
Well, we would not have a May meeting, and we will discuss next a June meeting. But, that would put us all the way through July when the new trimester begins.
For this April 29th meeting?
I will schedule the meeting for April 29th at 9 a.m. That's my prerogative, so...
official lab.
But don't we set the date? We're making a change to the. Don't we make a schedule in advance or at the beginning of the year?
Well,
like
we've always had a schedule, but
no, it's just assumed.
Robert's rules of orders. I can just say it's going to be Friday the 29th at 9:00.
We just have to make sure the notifications are
done. And Candace will be communicating. If you have to zoom in, great, but we'll plan on doing it in person. That works so much better for
come
the
down here.
The applicants will all be invited. So.
You're going to make me to break my perfect record, not attending.
Yes, yes. But
yeah, shame on you.
Frankly, I won't care a week after that. So. Just kidding. I always care. Not.
Bruce, we'll have a party in your apps.
The other thing that was brought up that I'd like to discuss is the retreat that was scheduled for June 2nd and 3rd in Kanab. There's a number of logistical problems with that. First of all, several of us will no longer be on the board. Therefore, it would not be appropriate or even legal for the fund to pay for our attendance at that meeting. So
will
that
we have a quorum? Will we, with the change in the board during the interim, will we have a quorum?
You might have a quorum, depending.
Just by existing.
Yeah, yeah. It's,
but we would
it's
need
close,
a,
right?
But we would need an interim director.
And what's a quorum if half the board is no longer seated? And the biggest problem is there's not a chairman, so you can't have an official meeting.
Short of an appointed interim chairman.
Right, right.
Right.
Which is, again, something that maybe the board could appoint an interim chairman, but is that stepping or overstepping, you know, the governor's...
I would defer to our legal counsel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why I wanted to avoid it.
So you would, by my calculation, you would have a quorum even after you lose the five members. The issue is that you would not have a chairman. And I specifically looked at the issue of, you know, the board appointing an interim chairman.
Or
I didn't
governor.
Find it. Pardon me?
Or the governor. I mean, I don't know.
So I think the board, there's nothing I could find that said the board could not do it. Right. But I couldn't find any precedent for it having been done. But I think the board could do it. But speaking to the chairman's concern, I think... So backing up a little bit, the chairman would have to be appointed by the governor on the advice and consent of the Senate, right? So
right.
If that happens before May 4th or soon after, you'll have a quorum with the chairman, right?
And I'm suggesting during the interim, at least the problem-solving effort of whether or not there's, for the good of the order, which it could be argued either way for the good of the order, to wait or to be able to move forward to advance the program as it needs to, and I'm curious.
And speaking to that quickly, I do think that the board could appoint an interim chair to conduct the meetings before the new chairman is appointed and approved.
From amongst or?
From amongst.
Okay.
Anyway, it's very complicated. The other issue is that if we are able to complete our business for the trimester on April 29th, which is our intent, there's no business purpose for the retreat because that's always been a training, oath of office, all of those things. So it would be very social.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Typically plus
right,
a meeting.
Right. There's no funding. There's no projects. And so, Candace, you had some comments, and then we'll go to Commissioner Ogden.
Thank you. Just by way of explanation how it works, you will complete the business for the final trimester for fiscal year 2022 on May 29th, or on April 29th. That will be done. We will still receive applications June 1, but that first meeting would not be until July. So we do have some interim time there when we have to have the new board take the oath of office annually. I'd just as soon do that, and they do their conflict of interest forms. We give them OPMA training, so it makes no sense to do a policy retreat for a small board when the other board members still have to do oath of office.
And I appreciate your opinion as staff in that regard. I will take a little bit of exception with the way you stated that, and the exception being that would be your recommendation, and I agree with it, but let's be careful that we don't. That it would be a recommendation to the board that we not waste our time in June when we can have a better effect on the larger board when everybody's seated.
Right. Well said.
I want to declare I've had Dalton training 400 times.
You don't need to admit your age, Commissioner Ogden.
I just was wondering how is this going to be appointed? This chairman going to be appointed by the governor, and then does it have to be approved by the Senate, or is not that have to go through that? And then I was wondering about the other board members, where I'm going to have to be, from what I'm understanding, have to be reappointed by Sevier County, I presume, or the ALG, however that works. I'm representing Sevier County right now, and we do have one from our ALG that's already been appointed. So does that have to go through that process once again through the governor's office and then be reappointed by the Senate? That means that possibly the way the Senate is, it's about 6 months to 7 months to get to be appointed. So what happens in the interim?
So if I may, let me start off by saying I'm still reviewing a lot of this. I'm hesitant to say anything really definitively because there's still a lot of moving parts. But let me answer it as I understand it. And going first to the one I can answer for definitively. So the new statute says the chairman will be an individual who resides in a county of the 3rd, 4th, 5th, or 6th class, appointed by the governor with the advice and consent of the Senate. That person has to go through that process, right, however long that takes. That's also, based on my review, true of the new representatives of the producing counties, oil, gas, and coal. They're appointed by, nominated by the AOGs, and then appointed by the governor through the advice and consent of the Senate. So to answer your question, yes, the new chairman for sure has to go through that process, and based on my review, I think that the representatives of the producing counties will also have to go through that process. Is that responsive to your question,
Commissioner? Yes, thank you. Just trying to get some clarification. I guess one other thing I'd mention. It wasn't broke, so why the hell are we trying to fix it?
Amen. Mr. Stevens.
Well, that is the thought process that I've got and gone through over the last few weeks. Two of them. If it isn't broke, why fix it? Or is it change for change's sake? And this appears to be the latter. And I've only been on the board for a few years, but it's been one that I've recognized the importance of the board and the significant role that it plays in helping to address rural Utah issues and those types of things. Utah is facing a critical juncture, in the coming years with water-related issues. And so I don't understand the rationale or the reasoning why, the change had to be made when you look at, removing water-related entities off of the board. I would dare say that 30% of all projects that come in that this board considers are water related.
Yes.
Granted, you'll still have, and most of those have been water quality related, but nonetheless, I think it was short-sighted and ill-conceived to make the changes. I'll just voice that as my opinion. Everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but anyway, I've appreciated the opportunity to get to know staff and serve on the board, and wish everyone well.
Likewise.
And to you as well.
One other comment. We definitely need to be having the representation from these guys in the audience here, so when we have these questions, I do understand that they're going to have those in our files or our notes and minutes, but it's really nice to have those folks that represent them in the audience so we can ask questions.
Yeah. And as staff, we'll make sure that they are in attendance in person and on the front row in the future. I'm not sure where they are, but that becomes very critical without having that voice on the board. So appreciate that. Also, I'd like to recognize Aubrey. Would you stand up for a minute? Aubrey has been with our planning team that has been wholly funded by this board for the better part of a decade. She came in as an intern and has served. She's accepted a job in the private sector. Can't say that I blame her.
I don't blame her.
But we will miss her tremendously. Those of you who have worked with her, and I think you've all had the opportunity to hear her, know that she's extremely talented and passionate about the work that she's been doing. And we wish her all the best and thank her for her service. So, thanks, Aubrey. Aubrey's always been kind of a light in my life, and so in recognition of that, we have a nice parting gift for her and each of the board members to remind you of the important role that you play in this state. And since I am not convening a retreat, much to my chagrin, we do have the typical gifts for you, so make sure you collect that memento so you always remember the good times we had. Anything else?
I think Kyle described the frustration that every elected official has with the legislature on a yearly basis. We just don't understand why they do what they do, but they have the power and they do it.
Yeah. Lesson learned that we need to pay attention and be involved.
That's the way it works.
Yeah, I was very frustrated because I was sidelined. You know, and told not to discuss it with anyone. So it made it very difficult. But that's a personal frustration, and this isn't the forum for that.
They
so.
Took you out of the on-deck circle and put you in the dugout.
They put me out of the stadium. you couldn't even hear me yell. So anyway, thank you all for your service. We'll adjourn this meeting and reconvene on Friday the 29th at 9 o'clock. So watch for all that information from staff. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, staff.